from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening and good morning across all these many prolific time zones, stretching all the way from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, across this great land to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the ever-growing Internet. You know, it doubles the Internet about every 3 or 4 months. I wonder what it's going to become, don't you? Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell, and we're going to do open lines all night long. Tomorrow night really is going to be interesting. Now, it took me a long time and the help of friends like Michael Lindemann to find an appropriate guest on cloning. I do believe that this cloning story, if true, and I have no reason to believe it is not, is the biggest news since the splitting of the atom. That's a non-trivial statement. But the problem was, who do you get to discuss it? You want a person involved, obviously, in genetics. But there are other aspects. In other words, once you learn how scientifically, physically it is accomplished, and that it is appropriate to imagine that humans will be cloned, scientifically, then you need to be able to talk about the other aspects of it. For example, religious and ethical. Lo and behold, I've located Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald at Loyola University near Chicago, who is at the same time a geneticist, a Jesuit priest, and a bioethicist. Now, that's a combination that you'd more easily hit the lottery than find that, but I did. And so he'll be here tomorrow night, and we will ask him about all aspects of cloning. You know, from every point of view, and he's uniquely qualified, I do believe, to discuss it. So he'll be getting back from New York, from doing a TV show, I think, in New York. But we've encouraged him to stay up late, and we'll find out what we can about cloning from somebody who really ought to know. In the news, as they say, General Schwarzkopf, Norman Iraqi War Schwarzkopf, says he doubts that U.S. troops, apparently any U.S. troops, were ever exposed to Iraqi war gas. He testified in front of the Senate yesterday. That's remarkable. And by the way, about two-thirds of the records that were supposed to be kept on this kind of exposure, they're missing. Two-thirds of the records are missing. Where could they have gone? I thought Rosemary Woods was doing something else these days, but they're just missing. Misplaced. Probably turn up on a desk in the White House somewhere. Our Attorney General looks as though she will not appoint a special prosecutor to look into wrongdoing during campaign fundraising times. What a surprise. The Clinton administration appears poised to approve Mexico, get this, approve Mexico as a wonderful drug-fighting partner. This follows the arrest of the Mexican drug czar, by the way. I said the Mexican drug czar for helping and protecting drug dealers in Mexico. I said the Mexican drug czar, you know, their version of McCaffrey, in the pokey for druggy stuff. But we're going to certify Mexico as a big drug-helping partner. Now, I guess I've got to deal with this because radio stations are beginning to receive it. I had a call this morning from a radio station, one of my affiliates. In Las Vegas, as a matter of fact, asking, oh my God, is Art dead? No, I'm not. And that was followed. I have had a million emails like this. For example, here's one I got earlier today from Scott. Subject in the subject line for the email, deceased, ? Hi, Art. Rumor has it that you are dead. Is this true? If I don't hear from you, I'll have to assume it is. A tragic loss. If you're not dead, thanks for your reply. I didn't answer him. So, I'm not dead, damn it. Now, I may have felt a little close to it a couple times, a week ago or so when I had the flu, but somebody decided to write my death notice and distribute it widely across the Internet. These things go very quickly across the Internet, and they are recycled and recycled and recycled. And now that I'm apparently alive, because people have noticed I do seem to be back on the radio, there are messages now circling around that it is not me. That it's some sort of electronic talking voice that Art Bell actually died. So even faced with the apparent fact that I am here, those people that wrote my death, a press release, it was very official looking, by the way, are now suggesting that I really am dead. They refuse to accept the apparent reality of my presence. Well, I am not dead. All right, a follow-up on yesterday. Now, later in the show, you might have missed it. You might have missed it. There was news that a chupacabra has been captured, caught, near San Antonio, Texas. Now, in order that the TV station not get inundated with calls, as it has been, well, I'll read you the facts I got. I've got a contact in the newsroom there, a very nice fellow named Derek. Hello, Art. Enjoyed talking with you earlier today. Yes, I talked to Derek, and Derek is going to send me some video of this chupacabra. And I will, of course, snap a still from it and put it on the website for you. And that's on the way by next day. You know me. Anyway, he wrote the following. Art, the chupa story caused such a stir that I frankly would appreciate it if you didn't mention it. Did not mention on the air what station it's from, because our staff spent the whole day answering phones from radio stations all across the country. So, when you get the photos, just use my name only, which I will, Eric. Anyway, here's more info. We talked with the rancher again today, who says the photos were taken last November on his land near Poteet. That's P-O-T-E-E-T, which is south of San Antonio. He says his ranch hands discovered the beast in a coyote trap with two others very much like it nearby jumping up and down. The two that were free ran into the brush. The ranch hand tried to free the creature, but it was snapping at him with its claws. Ooh. He says it had eyes on the top of its head that moved nearly 360 degrees and followed him as he tried to get close to it, and also had a horn, folks, protruding from its mouth. He also says the others could jump high in the air, almost flying, in quotes. The ranch hand says the creature let out a loud screech when he continued to try to free it. Well, rather than risk his limbs, he backed off and visited the location 3 days later, then found it dead in the trap. The ranch hand says that he also found 2 feet in diameter holes and tunnels around the area, which looked like the creatures had burrowed underground, much like a prairie dog. I asked, what happened to the body? And he said some men in suits took it away, and he claims it's either in Austin or Houston. You should get the tape on Saturday. He says, call me tomorrow if you want. So, very nice guy, Derek. He is shipping off a tape to me, and I will snappy a still from that and, of course, get it up on the website for you. But the word is they've got the body of a chupacabra. And they've got video of it. And soon I will have video of it. So make of that what you will. I'm curious, very, very curious what it looks like. I'm sure you are, too. Neat story. All right. Art, the 6 o'clock news here in Nashville, WTN, of course, in Nashville on the CBS channel, just showed a sheep with a complete leg growing out of the top of its head. Oh, my God. That was somewhere in Spain. I didn't catch exactly where the leg had a joint, and it was just flopping around as the sheep ran around. Now, I've got a picture of a sheep on my website with 8 legs. Now, I ask you, this was in Spain, okay? Is it not possible that the scientists that were doing the cloning experiments before they got this sheep that they'd been showing to the world perhaps had a few experiments that did not work out, you know, quite the way they wanted them to? Could that be my 8-legged sheep? Bad as that was, the photograph of the 8 legs, yuck. The prospect of a sheep with a leg growing out of the middle of its head is really gross. Weather news. Aloha, Art. A few days ago, you heard from a guy on the big island of Hawaii talking about 100-mile-an-hour winds, actually 80, hitting Hilo and ripping off roofs. Well, guess what? It's all true. Here is the newspaper article from Hilo, Associated Press. Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator Harry Kim says he wouldn't be surprised if damage from Monday's windstorm tops $1 million. Wind gusts at times exceeded 100 miles per hour, according to forecasters. So, 100-mile-an-hour winds. Now, short of a hurricane, I said this the other night, I'm saying it again, short of a hurricane, what the hell would do this? Continuing with weather news. Today in the southernmost town on the island, southernmost in the U.S., that's N-A-A-L-E-H-U, Hawaii, I will not pronounce that, they had a pounding hailstorm. Read it again, hailstorm. I'm not sure what's going on in Hawaii, but nothing good weather-wise. And then also, news today on the Weather Channel that the jet stream apparently is coming down to, quoting them, very low levels. The winds throughout Ohio, Pennsylvania, and part of Michigan have been absolutely incredible. That's Mike in Michigan. He says maybe Ed Dames was right. Now I'm going to read you the follow. Oh, by the way, in the Yakima newspaper, there was an article on Mel's Hole entitled "The Whole Truth?" printed in the Yakima Herald Republic. They interviewed me for that. If you want to read it, we naturally have a link on our website right now. So the Mel's whole story. Or would that be the story of the hole that Mel said he had? All of that in the Yakima Herald Republic, and you'll see it on my website right now. So from all over the world, you can jump up there and read that article. It is www.artbell.com. I received the following today. Art, a quick note to confirm the existence of Mel Waters' hole. A while back, my father-in-law told me a story about when he used to ride motorcycles years ago in the sagebrush around Ellensburg. We were discussing off-road racing and how when they suddenly came upon unexpected obstacles at high speed, he told me about riding along and having to jump quickly over a hole that appeared in front of him, 8 to 10 feet wide, so deep he could not see the bottom. The bottom couldn't be found by throwing rocks and listening for them to hit. Our local newspaper reported the military had taken over and barricaded the hole. That's Lance in Yakima. So, there you've got it. Or maybe it's my own story feeding back to me, but this sounds like it's older, so I don't know. Maybe there was a Mel's hole. I just don't know. But the news certainly is weird. There's yet another fact about a sheep with a leg coming out of its head. God, that's horrible, isn't it? Absolutely horrible. And I wonder if that's just not a bit of the first few sheep they experimented upon that they didn't show us. All right. Radios. One of my favorite topics. I love radio. It is so close to my heart that a lot of times when I get off the air after 5 hours here, I go on the air, I'm a ham operator, and I go on the air there. Never say die, I guess, huh? I'm really stuck on radio. And one of the coolest radios, now I bet I had 5 calls last night. One of the coolest radios ever made is the Beijin. It has a crank on the side. When CNN ran the stories on Beijin, they actually disassembled and took the crank mechanism out and showed it to you. I don't know how many of you saw that. It really is incredible. It is patented because there is none other like it in the world. Anyway, you crank the Beijin for 1 minute, and then on AM, FM, or 8 bands of shortwave, it will play for 30 minutes, giving you some pretty doggone good audio, too. I said AM, FM, and shortwave. Now, obviously, this radio has application for today's weird weather, or tomorrow's weird weather. If your power goes out, you've always got power with the Beijin. If you can turn a crank, it's easy. So, instead of being one of those people stuck with no information when power goes out, order a Beijin now. All right, price is $119.95 for this shipment. Now, there's going to be some interruption here shortly because you're ordering more Beijins than they can make. So, I wouldn't wait any longer. $119.95. If you want it, call Bob Crane in the morning at 7:30 Pacific Coast Time. The number? 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. The C. Crane Company. Listen, do you remember a time when you could buy a new car for $2,000? A new 3-bedroom home for $10,000 or less, or maybe a 10-cent cup of coffee? A time when the average middle-income family had only one wage earner. That allowed the wife to devote full-time care for the family. They could still own their own home, buy a new car every couple of years, take a nice vacation every summer, put a couple of kids through college. and look forward to carefree retirement. That year was 1966, only 30 years ago. What happened? Well, to have the same standard of living today, you'd have to net, after taxes, about 10 times the income of that year. Very few of us have been able to keep pace. What's happened to our beloved American dollar, the American dream? For the answers to these questions and more, I want you to call my friends at North American Trading and ask for their free newsletter on the decline of the dollar. That number is 1-800-877-9799. It's completely free. The number, 1-800-877-9799. Is there a special woman in your life? If so, then she could sure use a bit of extra help around the house, I'm sure. Absolutely Fresh Clones is the answer. See your woman's eyes light up when she receives the Magunga shipment of fresh clones in a large triangular crate. More clones than she's ever seen. At Absolutely Fresh Clones, all they grow are clones, as far as the eye can see. They are a clone farm in Southern California, and when you call, they go out and harvest fresh clones. They place a huge selection of the best clones in a large triangular crate, which is then FedExed to you at the very next opportunity. All this for $399.95, which includes shipping and handling. Absolutely Fresh Clones guarantees their clones will be the freshest and largest shipment of clones that you can get. Their clones, the best workers money can buy. If their clones don't perform to your expectations, return them for a full refund, no questions asked. So, what are you waiting for? Get your special someone out there, out of the house, away from work, and give her clones. Smart guys know that when she has free time, they benefit. Call 24 hours a day, 1-800-2-CLONE. That's 1-800-2-CLONE. We'll probably be right back. This is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Here from the grave, I am. Come on, Art, you promised us an update on the Kramer case, so where is it? Well, now, here's somebody who's not been listening. I gave you the update, and you weren't listening, were you? I've got a show coming up March 6th that will clear it all up if you listen. Ed Dames sent a fax, and this gets pretty serious, saying that Taylor Kramer is dead, and I've already informed Kathy of that. The specifics are going to be given to Kathy here on the program. So Ed Dames and Kathy Kramer together March 6th. And I'm looking forward to that. And then there's some more stuff that may occur that night that I think you'll find interesting. No doubt we'll keep Ed on. Twist his arm and make him stay. I just got this article from the Washington Post, and I swear to you, this is true. Title of the article is, Scientists Have a Hunch. Let me do it straight. Scientists have a hunch, intuition makes sense. Now let's think about that. Scientists have a hunch, intuition makes sense. Sub headline, gut feelings linked to wise decision making. Rob Stein, Washington Post, Friday, February 28, 1997. Neuroscientists yesterday reported compelling new evidence that intuition plays a crucial role in helping people make sensible decisions and clues to how gut feelings work in our brain. An unusual experiment that compared normal people to those with a very specific type of brain damage as they gambled with cards identified, apparently, a part of the brain that appears necessary for intuition to work. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that those people who don't have intuition are brain damaged? It sounds that way. Anyway, it's a long article, and you can read it at the Washington Post website, or, you know, get a copy of the Washington Post. Anyway, that's it. Scientists have a hunch. Intuition makes sense. I love that headline. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello there. No, I didn't push the right button. I'm sorry. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is Brenda calling from Lexington.
Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I was watching the Asteroids Deadly Impact piece on Wednesday night on NBC.
Yes.
And they were talking about volcanoes and Mammoth Lake.
Yes.
And hang on, let me get my radio.
Been a couple of 3.5-point earthquakes in the Mammoth area.
Yes, that's what I heard. And they said something about a 4.5 on Monday. I was wondering if you heard anything on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It just keeps cooking along. One of these days, kaboom.
Yes, that'll be it.
And we're going to have a volcano.
Yeah. They're saying that it was like showing signs of awakening and stuff. And so, you know, I was like,
Yep. Ooh,
I just might want to be out there. But I enjoy your show. Long-time listener, first-time caller. And that's all I have to say.
I thank you for the call. Wouldn't it be something to live in an area where gases were coming up out of the earth near you, and the earth was constantly shaking? That's Mammoth Lakes. And one of these days, there's going to be, they know it, everybody knows it, there's going to be the birth of a volcano there. Everybody would be real surprised. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art?
I'm okay.
Hey, that guy that was on, Mel?
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah, it was one of the greatest. Look, it depends on how you feel about it. It was either real or it was a hoax.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know.
Well, you never really know, but, I mean, even if it was true, it would be kind of neat to go up there and kind of spy in the military with some, like, night vision goggles and you know, kind of... You know, I do our own thing.
Well, look, if you're into kicks like that, you know where Area 51 is?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you can really get your kicks up there, and it's not Route 66 either.
I know. It's pretty interesting. We don't have to go that far.
But by all means, I mean, take your night vision up there and let me know how you do. You know, when you get out, give me a call.
Sure.
Let me know how the food was. I understand the county jail. Anyway.
But also, you know, if it was possible, if Mel, well, he's already sold out, right?
Well, sold out is a pretty harsh phrase. There are some who have used that phrase after his facts of yesterday. He has leased away his rights, let's put it that way.
But I was going to say, if it did turn out to be true, another thing, an idea I came up with was to maybe build some tunnels and, you know, intersect the hole, so to speak. Kind of like...
That's going to get you into the same place as your night vision stuff.
In trouble, right?
You got it.
Hey, you have a good one and keep up the good work.
Yep, thank you. Take care. Sure. You know where you're going if you do that. You don't mess around with the government and their hole. East of the Rockies... You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Sandy, and I'm from Minnesota.
Minnesota Sandy.
Oh. Yes. And I was just listening to you this evening, and I was, I've been concerned listening to you for a while about your safety.
My safety?
ear safety. And when I heard you talking about the news going through the internet that you had died and
It was really wishful thinking on somebody's part.
Well, I was concerned and I was hoping that. I was sitting here one night listening to you, and I thought when this meltdown occurred, I thought, I wonder if Art's phones are bugged in some way, and of course
I assume they are. I assume they are. Who cares?
Well.
Who cares?
I just want you to be safe, and I hope you have, I hope you have security and all these things to protect yourself.
I have lots of things to do that with.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Yes.
I appreciate your concern, but
I'm much relieved because it's something that's been crossing my mind, and I mentioned to my son, I think I'll call Art and tell him my concern. Maybe he won't want to talk about it, but
I don't mind. I'll talk about anything.
I know, and I love your program. I've been listening for a long time, and I shall continue to do so, and perhaps I'll call you again.
All right, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Take care. But it's really hard fighting a rumor. Have you ever tried to fight a rumor? And it's the damnedest thing. Once it gets started, it takes on a life of its own. And I guess it's like a chain letter or something, you know. Somebody gets there, they go, oh my God, Art Bell's dead. And they start faxing it and emailing it around and blah, blah, blah. I've still got the thing somewhere here. They wanted to read it to me earlier. KXNT called, and they wanted to read it to me. I said, no, I know. I've seen it. Anyway, maybe I didn't save it. That's too bad. You should always save your own death notice. Yeah. Don't look like I have it. Oh, well. Anyway, it was very specific, written... Almost sadly and very professionally outlining my survivors and all the rest of that sort of stuff. But, I mean, even a week after I'd been back on the air, I was only sick for a total of, 3 days or something? People with too much time on their hands. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Bill, and I'm calling from Seattle.
Hi, Bill.
That Mammoth Lake thing really... I was just sort of reading while I was listening to you. That just totally shot me up. I mean, that's so interesting.
It is, and when it does occur, everybody is going to be so shocked.
Well, Art, I really believe you should have somebody on your show, a scientist or something, that really considers that its area of expertise.
I've had them on. I mean,
had them on.
Yeah, sure. Look, there's going to be one day... a volcano there.
Well,
it's
going to
go kaboom. It's going to go kaboom.
Yeah. And the other thing is Mount Rainier. It's number one on the list of mudslides. We're talking mudslide could probably level Tacoma. That's another possibility. I'd love to hear you talk about that.
Everybody lives with risk.
But it's not risk. It's excitement to me.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean...
Would you like to actually live right at Mammoth?
I wake up
at 2 o'clock in the morning, and hear a giant hissing sound. And
then a giant explosion.
Wake up, honey. Wow, this is really fun. Check it out. We're about to be blown 25,000 feet into the air.
Well, that's why you study it and find a good vantage point, perhaps nearby mountain peak, and watch it. It's totally interesting.
There was a totally interesting movie about time travelers. I don't know if you ever saw it, but they were tourists to disaster. In other words, they were not allowed to affect anything, though they could. But all they did was travel into time. They'd come like a day or two ahead of some terrible disaster. Like tourists, they would watch it occur and then go on to something else.
What was the name of it?
Thanks. Now I can't remember it.
Because I want to see it now.
All right, we'll get the name of it. Someone will remember.
All right, Art. Get somebody on the air about Mount Rainier. I want to hear about it.
All right. What is it you want to hear? That it's going to blow up and decimate Tacoma? No more Tacoma? These are risks we live with, California earthquakes. where I am, earthquakes, volcanoes, hailstorms, jet streams coming down on deck with 100-mile-an-hour-plus winds. You know, life is full of risk. So what does your intuition tell you? You going to die in bed, or are you going to get blown 20,000 feet into the air by a volcano? Birthing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, this is James in Lafayette, Indiana.
How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question. Are you going to have Chuck Roberts on anymore? I read his book, Medusa Files, and...
I don't think I've ever had him on.
Yeah, Chuck Roberts.
When did I have Chuck on?
Or Craig Roberts, I'm sorry.
Ah, different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig would be fun to have back.
Yeah, because I read his book, you know, that Medusa Files that
right.
was out.
Right.
Yeah, that's an excellent book.
Well, he's a good guest, so sure, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to have him on again and
all right.
talk to him.
Okay.
But love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Radio down there. Everybody, turn your radio down.
That's right.
Okay. My name is Derek from L.A.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk a little bit about the whole Gulf War syndrome thing. I'm just curious, why would it be that they would cover up something so... I mean, that there's so much documentation, there's so much information, and... there are so many people that are sick, and it's obviously communicable. Why would they be covering it up instead of...
Money. Money.
Do you think it's only money?
Not only money, but there is another thing that occurs. Once a cover-up begins, it's like remember when you were a child and you lied? Then pretty soon you had to tell another lie to cover lie number one,
the whole
and another
problem,
lie,
right.
and another lie. So once it begins, it cascades. So money is not the only reason, but it begins that way. And then lies to cover other lies. Two-thirds of the records are missing. You know what they attributed to?
What's
a
that?
Computer virus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right. And here's one other thing. If you listen very carefully to the officials who comment on the Gulf War illness, all they ever comment on... Is gas.
Is gas and not chemical. And
they never talk about biologicals.
Your mention of virus is exactly what I'm afraid of. If they're covering it up and they're not letting the people know and it is not money, the only other reason that I can think of besides liability is something was released that they don't want to let the public know because it's too late.
Well, that too is a good point. I mean, once it's too late, it's too late, particularly if they have nothing they can do about it.
Right. I mean, we were supposed to have won the war, or we're still technically at war. But we left Saddam Hussein there. We backed out. We went in there, and then we backed out, and we left him. One of the main things the United States was saying is, we're going to take Saddam out. We're going to take him out. We're going to take him out. You know, we were adamant about it.
Well, let's use a little logic here. We all know quite a bit about Saddam. You know, he has his relatives killed, he's that kind of guy, right?
Right?
So, we're in the middle of kicking his ass in the Gulf War, and we were really kicking it.
Yeah.
Now, ask yourself, would this kind of guy use biologicals when he was pressed into a corner, and maybe even if he wasn't pressed into the corner? The answer is an obvious, logical,
yeah.
Sure he would.
Yeah.
Sure he would.
I have a feeling that we were backed into a corner. I think he released something, and the government knows about it. They said, look, you have like 20 years before you can cure this. If you don't get back off now, I'll release something that you'll have 2 days. You know, I'm proving to you that I'm crazy enough to do this. Leave me alone now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Clearly.
Yeah. Well,
any of that is possible, or he just may have simply released what he had. I mean,
right.
I think he would have. I've thought it through. We know what kind of guy he is. He was getting beaten severely and pushed right into the corner. So under those circumstances, or even lesser, would he have released it? Again, I say absolutely yes.
Right. You said you were going to have, and I forget what her name is.
Joyce Riley.
Right. When is she going to be on again?
I don't know. She called a couple of days ago, and I'm going to schedule her back. My guess now would be probably next week.
Wow, that's great.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Take care. So there you are. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello. Is this Ghost to Ghost?
Ghost to Ghost. That's right.
Electronic clone of the former Art Bell.
Yeah, you know, it's not too much.
It's pretty good. That's you know, the evil part of the World Wide Web. Anybody can say anything they want to and
blow
it all out of proportion.
That's right.
You want to talk about that guy with his magnetic and salt water device that you were talking to last night, was it?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No, I mean, we can, sure.
Yeah. It seemed to remind me of something that was, it's been pretty much made obsolete by integrated circuits. But back in the 70s, when they first started studying electronics, they had something called a magnetic amplifier. And what this does is it's a broadband amplifier that passes sinusoidal waves, but it blocks and attenuates sharp pulses, spikes, you know, the things that make up noise.
Yeah.
And so what the guy seems to have is like a wet version of one of these things that, how to describe it?
Well, look, for one thing, a lot of the audience will not have heard what you're talking about. This is a man who called last night who said he's developed this incredible artificial ground / noise filter. It's a 2-gallon bucket full of salt water, which would be a natural artificial ground to some degree. And then he's put two large permanent magnets, opposite polarity at the bottom of the thing, and drops a ground wire in, and it cuts down interference, cuts down radio frequency, spurious emissions, that sort of thing. And I think that the guy is on to something. And it took a little while to get out last night, but it was absolutely fascinating. So we'll talk some more about it, sir.
Yeah, but you know, the ocean with the magnetic lines of force of the Earth running through it has really the same effect, and it'll only pass very, very low-frequency radio waves.
That's
how we communicate
right.
with submarines.
That's correct. All right, sir. Thank you very much. It's very much like the whales with their low frequencies talking to each other. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. This is CBC.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, but he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play a pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle is gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." "The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, you're a smell-pure boy, and play your fiddle hard. I'll tell folks who's your demand, the devil deals a card."
Now, don't touch that dial. Art Bell will be right back.
The devil gets your soul.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. 5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Yes, it is. Now on 330 stations nationwide. Man, that's a lot of radio stations. 330 radio stations nationwide. That really amazes me. And a lot of them big ones. You know, radiating all over a great deal of America. So the coverage actually is many times what you might imagine it is. Anyway, celebrating 330, we hit that mark today. We're talking about, anything you want to talk about tonight. There is no specific subject. It's open lines. Tomorrow night now, Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Loyola University will be here. He is all at once a geneticist, a Jesuit priest, and a bioethicist. That's quite a combination. He'll be here talking about what else? Cloning. He's probably the exact right guy to talk about cloning because he can come at it from each and every angle. Just news in now of a powerful magnitude 7.3 earthquake in Pakistan. I don't have details yet, but there's been a big one in Pakistan. Again, 7.3 preliminary reading on the Richter scale. A weird weather. Oh, man. 100-mile-an-hour winds in Hawaii. Hailstorms on the Big Island. A tremendous jet stream on the deck kind of winds out through Michigan and parts of Pennsylvania and so forth and so on as the weather continues to quicken. We're following a chupacabra story down in San Antonio. They've got a chupacabra. And I've got video of the chupacabra on the way. When I get it, I'll pull a still from the video and you'll see it on the website before you can say chupa. So as soon as that arrives, Derek, a good friend at the television station whose call letters I will not give out tonight because they were so swamped with calls from radio stations all over the country. So I've agreed not to give out the call letters so they can do some business there. But the video's on the way, and when I get it, you'll get it. You know that. Last hour, some guy called up and he thought it would be a real thrill to live near or on Mammoth Lakes, you know, in the Mammoth Lakes area where there's going to be a new volcano one of these days. Soon, maybe. And I said, you've got a pretty weird sense of thrills, you know, because you're going to get blown 20,000 feet in the air or something if it happens. Here's somebody who agrees, Mike. Get real to the guy in California who wants to watch from a nearby mountain. Perhaps he's never heard of David Johnstone, a professional volcanologist who perched 7 miles away from Mount St. Helens in 1980 after she blew. His body was never found. The movie in question, Disaster in Time. Thank you. That was it. Inconspicuous time travelers create confusion when they make a rest stop in a backwater town. This clever and entertaining sci-fi film manages to avoid many of the cliches of the genre. Directed by The Arrival's David Twohy, is it? T-W-O-H-Y, I don't know how to pronounce that. Stars Jeff Daniels. That's Rebecca Keith. Thank you, Rebecca. CNI News Media Watch. So they keep track of these kinds of things, I guess. Yeah, that was it. Disaster in Time. They were people who traveled in time, you know, and they'd take lodging at a safe distance from some gigantic disaster about a day or two ahead of time, and then wait for it to occur and observe it, just watch it. People dying for the tourist value, and then when it was over, they'd move on to another disaster. Does it happen that people listen to other people's phone calls on portable phones? Ooh, yes. It happens all the time. All the time. Some people, as a matter of fact, make a hobby out of listening to other people's portable phone conversations. Sorry to say. The way you can beat that, and that is why most people are buying the VTech, it's really, I think, not the best reason. But it's why most people are buying it. You can't hear a thing. This is a 900 megahertz telephone. And it's completely digital. So the only thing you hear on a scanner is a bunch of noise. I mean, you don't even know they're there. So nobody's going to hear you. That's why people are buying it. I buy it because of the clarity. I need a clear portable phone. I'm on the phone all the time. Without it, I'd go absolutely out of my mind. That is the 900 NDL, and that's why I would buy it. And there is a third reason, and that is I can carry mine a mile away from the house, a mile. Matter of fact, a lot of times I'll call Bob Green from a mile away, and I'll say, I'm a mile away, Bob. Here I am. And you might get more or less than that. It depends on the geography. But they're wonderful phones, and right now they're $129.95, and that means delivered to your house. You compare that price elsewhere. Call Bob Crane in the morning. Get one on the way. You'll love it. The number is 1-800-522-8863. 1-800-522-8863, the C. Crane Company. Are you overweight? Would you like to lose an average 8 to 10 pounds in the next month? We know that fiber helps sweep fat out of the digestive tract like a broom, reducing the amount of fat your body stores as excess weight. Well, let me tell you about a revolutionary fiber, chitosan. It's a natural fiber that comes from shellfish. It not only sweeps fat, but also absorbs up to 10 times more fat than other fibers. You can get this fiber in a formula called Kaito Slim. Kaito Slim is effective because you can lose weight without changing your eating habits. And there are no stimulants. It's a gentle, effective way to lose excess weight. Here's the special offer. When you order a 90-day supply of Kaito Slim, you'll get an antioxidant moisturizing cream absolutely free. Call 1-800-557-4627. It's guaranteed to work or your money back, and it's not available in stores. So call 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. You've got nothing to lose but the fat. All right, there are two cruises coming up. The one to Egypt and Israel and the Greek islands coming in October is utterly and completely booked up. All you could do is get on a waiting list for that. But coming up August 23rd, we're going to take the real Alaska tour. A lot of Alaskan tourists out there. But this is the real thing. Let me tell you about it. The 23rd, we leave Vancouver, which in itself, Vancouver is a beautiful city in B.C., British Columbia. So we begin there. There we board a brand new Princess ship, just commissioned, the Dawn. And we go to the famed Inside Passage, you know, Ketchikan, Juneau, historic Skagway. Then we sail right up to the face of the towering ice fields in Glacier Bay National Park and in majestic College Fjord. Now, that is incredible. You know, the ice fields are absolutely amazing, and you will love it in a brand new ship. And every little wish that you can imagine is catered to. I mean, it really is pampering yourself. But that is when our Alaska cruise separates from everybody else's Alaska cruise, because we don't stop there. We're going to see the real Alaska, the interior of Alaska as well. So, when we get to Seward, Alaska, we go into Anchorage. And there you board the Princess Cruises luxurious Ultra Dome rail cars. We go on the Alaska Railroad to the famed Denali National Park. After a night there, we continue on to Fairbanks. Now, in other words, we see the real Alaska while the other cruises just do the, you know, regular thing. Now, a lot of people have been calling and asking what's included, and the answer is just about everything, actually. The cruise, all your meals, entertainment, the whole thing. Your hotels are included in Alaska. The trip to Denali Park and Fairbanks, in the deluxe Princess rail cars, all included. local hosts to assist you every step along the way, tours in Anchorage, Denali, and Fairbanks, all included as part of the package. So, if you would wish to come along with us, I'm going to give you the numbers now. You call in the morning. They'll send you a free package. You know, it's free. It'll give you all the details. And you can come along. If you're east of the Rockies, call after 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. 1-800-633-2732. Again, 1-800-633-2732. If you are west of the Rockies, call 1-800-848-7120. Again, 1-800-848-7120. I try to slow down for everybody. So Ramon will be there, I think, in all likelihood. My son will be there, too. And it's going to be the Alaska cruise of a lifetime. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Ed in San Diego.
Hi, Ed.
How you doing?
All right.
Good. A couple things. Did you know, speaking of your trip to Israel, did you know that Israel is preparing the Valley of Megiddo to be a landmark for the Armageddon?
No, I didn't know that.
I've got a newspaper article that was in the San Diego Union Tribune, and I can fax that to you. But basically, they're trying to turn it into a tourist attraction, and they're going to be putting in a computer-generated view of what the Battle of Armageddon is going to be like.
Wow.
There. It sounds amazing.
Wow. I would love to get a version of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would be something.
A computer-animated version of what the Battle of Armageddon will be like. Wow.
Yep. So I'll be faxing that that newspaper article to you.
I will look forward to that.
Also, did you get our package, our CD that we sent you from Savior Machine?
I will have to go ask.
Okay. But we just hoping it made it to you.
All right. I will ask.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Art.
All right. Take care. My wife is helping mightily with the mail. Oh, I get a lot of mail. That really is something. It's a full-time job, actually, now. So I will have to ask. And I will. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, this is Bruce in Peoria.
Hi, Bruce. Ooh, I heard Peoria is having some pretty rough weather.
Yeah, there's flooding all along in the Rome area, which is about... 10 miles north of Peoria.
Mm.
It's basically about a mile stretch is where it's really bad along the Illinois River.
Yeah, you know, the weather in this country is worsening by the hour, it seems like. I've never seen a deterioration like we've had recently. It's really rough.
I know it. Art, I wanted to tell you about my... Oh, I don't know if you call it an entity or spaceman or lizard. I really don't know because I don't believe in that stuff normally. But my wife had been telling me about her hearing the back door open and then, you know, the kind of the usual thing, the hearing footsteps and the door would close. And she was thinking it was me coming home because I work a third shift.
Yeah.
And this happened quite a few times, and I tell her, no, you're just dreaming. You probably woke up, and you dreamt it, and you just thought that you actually heard that thing.
Yes.
And, but I guess it's true. I don't know. What happened to me is no one's going to believe what happened to me.
On the show, we might. Let's hear it.
Well, I was at home. And it was, and this is during the day, my wife was at work, and same thing happened. I heard the back door open up, and I heard the footsteps, and you know I thought, well, maybe it was my wife coming home from work.
Yeah.
And then I never saw anything. I looked down the hallway, didn't see anything, and a few minutes later, I heard, boo.
Boo.
Boo. I don't know if any of any of your listeners ever had a ghost say boo to him before? And it seems silly, but it just scared me out of my wits.
Well, of course it did. So you're saying for sure there was nobody physically there.
No, there was no one there. It's just that I did hear this. I heard the door slam. I heard the footsteps.
Well, I'd have a gun in my hand at that point. oh, don't laugh. Well, I'm not kidding. I'd have a gun in my hand.
Well, you know, it was broad daylight.
Yeah.
And we're in a real quiet, you know, neighborhood, so I didn't think too much of it, but but I didn't know ghosts actually did say boo. I mean, if it was a ghost, I don't know what it was, to tell you the truth.
I wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, and then the only thing we've heard since then is my wife. She was in the bedroom at night when I was at work again, and she heard the name. Well, we don't know if it's the name or what it was, but it was Marouk.
Marouk?
Yeah. She said she just heard it, you know, and just heard that name Marouk, and then that was all we've heard since then.
Is this a house or an apartment?
It's in our house.
It's a house. How long have you had this house?
About 5 years.
5 years.
And this occurrence has only been about the past year. And it's happened to my wife I'd say probably 10 times.
So you might have a haunted house.
I hope not. I don't know. Like I said, I always listen to your show.
Now I will say this: if I survived after death and I was here on Earth, and I was a poltergeist or a ghost, you know, but a spirit, and I had the ability, I might sneak up on somebody and say, boo! I mean, you know, playfully, and
yeah,
just watch them jump out of their skin.
Well, I sure did. Like I said, you're listening, it might sound silly, but it scared me out of my wits.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Keep in touch, and I wish I could remember the model number of that bug zapper.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that story?
Yeah.
There might be a way to trap this thing. Well, anyway, stay in touch.
Okay, thanks, Art.
Take care. I don't know what I'd do if I had a... I would not like that. I would not like that at all. And I doubt that I would conclude it was a ghost. I think I would conclude it was an intruder. Of course, if there's nobody actually there, then can you imagine over your shoulder or right in the same room something saying boo to you? I don't know. It'd be a for sale sign out there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Barbara from Covington, Washington.
Yes, Barbara.
I'm thrilled to get through to you. I've listened to your show for a long time. My dilemma is probably not the normal thing.
Well, this is the home of the abnormal, so.
Well, I have just gone through 1 year of court battles with my husband being falsely accused of sexually molesting a young girl next door. And we have both passed polygraph tests. We have paid, in fact, it was just, it came right down to the court date, which was last Thursday, and they dismissed it from court just hours before it went to trial because they knew that there was no court case. But it was if they were financially trying to force
How much did it end up costing you?
$21,000.
$21,000. Now let me tell you.
On the market,
yeah, let me tell you what I think should happen. I think that when somebody brings charges like this, and then they either dismiss or lose, financial burden should be on them, not you, for having to defend yourself. And that's a change we need in our civil liability laws in this country. Losers pay. And if we had that, I don't think we'd have so damn many frivolous. And frivolous is not a word I'm sure that you'd be comfortable with, lawsuits filed. Loser pays. Simply put, loser pays.
That is my question to you. Do you have any sources? I am a letter writer, and I am prepared to write to anyone and everyone that I can to try and get legislature changed so that this will never happen to another person again.
Well, obviously, begin, thank you, by contacting your state representatives. It's something that can be done, I believe, at the state level to begin with. Then it may have to travel up the courts. But I've thought this for a very long time. You see, our civil system can be used to literally terrorize somebody financially. Because you can charge anybody just about with anything, and they are then, of course, forced to defend themselves unless they are without means, and then, of course, somebody of a lesser quality will be appointed to defend them. No, I think that the loser in these kinds of things ought to have to pay. And then if you're really sure you've got a civil case of harm, you're going to bring a case, if you're really sure. But if you're not sure, or if it is frivolous in some manner, then you're not going to bring it, because if you lose, you're going to have to cough up the money. And there is a case of somebody, having to cough up $21,000, which for the average person would force them to do exactly what she's doing, and that is put their house on the market, and it would ruin their lives. Now, you all think about it out there. Isn't that a good idea? Sure, bring a case. But if you lose, and the person is declared to be innocent, then you pay. Instead of just hoping you get a judgment, if you don't, well, you terrorize them with legal fees. Does not seem fair to me. And our justice system is about, supposed to be about being fair, right?
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Hi, I'm Art Bell. Survey says people love it, and I think you will too. We don't do your cookie-cutter style talk radio. We don't sit here and bash for hours on end. Instead, we explore interesting, intriguing, strange, even bizarre topics. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun, it's different, and it's right here in the middle of the night.
Art Bell interviews Dr. John Holland, president of Hair Incorporated, on psychokinesis. That's this weekend on Greenland.
This is Art Bell. If human beings only use a small portion of our brains, what makes us think we know it all? Just because we can't prove it yet does not mean it may not be so. Greenland.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Seemingly from beyond the grave, here I am. It really is, you have no idea how hard it is to fight news that you are dead. I keep getting calls now, every day, more and more of them. Panicked calls from my affiliates. Is Art dead? I mean, I answered some of them myself. Hi. Hi, is Art Bell there? Is Art Bell okay? Has Art Bell died? And I explain to them carefully as I can, no, No, I don't seem to be. Oh, thank goodness, they'll say. Howdy, Art. A few years ago, while fly fishing near Mammoth Lakes, a strange thing happened. There was a great hatch, and bugs were everywhere on the water. The fish were aggressively feeding, and all at once, the fish stopped feeding. Bugs were still everywhere. Conditions were perfect, but no fish. So finally, I waded to shore, sat on a rock, and everything began to shake. It was a moderate earthquake. I've always wondered if the fish knew that it was going to happen. Weird. Steve in Bakersfield. Oh, sure, Steve. I am convinced of it. Sure, the fish knew what was going to happen. And I think at one time, we knew too. I think that the more sensitive out there still know. And again, I circle back to the Washington Post article in today's Washington Post, entitled, comically, I think, "Scientists Have a Hunch, Intuition Makes Sense." And they go into a long scientific explanation of why they think, actually have a hunch, scientists, that intuition makes sense. I mean, they're suddenly coming around to some beginning of an understanding that human intuition is a real force. And I think that to a large degree, it has been conditioned out of us by modern life. But we know. Those who are more sensitive out there, that's how you make decisions. Your intuition, your inner feeling. It goes to work and tells you what to do. Now, a lot of times you ignore it, but the smart ones learn how to listen, and people regard them as sensitives or psychics or whatever you want to call it. I think we all have that power, or had it. Absolutely Fresh Flowers is a flower farm in Southern California that grows miniature carnations. That's all they grow, and therefore they give you the best deal in America when you call. As a matter of fact, they don't cut any flowers until you call. And when you do, they go out and cut your order. And because they're a flower farm and because there's no middle guys, no store, not a bunch of employees, they cut you a wholesale amount of flowers. And when you see how big that is, you'll be angry at everybody else's flower deal and you'll realize what a rip all these other deals are. It's that much better, really. They're shipped out next day by FedEx to the female of your choice, along with a card from you. Very personal, very emotional, with your message and name at the bottom. It's really a good deal. $42.95. Try it for birthdays, anniversaries, or if you have the guts, no reason at all. The number to call is 1-800-562-6438. You can call it right now. 1-800-562-6438. The new year is here, and how many of you have made a promise to make more money and better your life? When you think about the future, do you see the economy getting better or worse? With a small investment of your time, you can create security for yourself by learning to trade in the commodities markets. Some financial pundits have just about made commodities a dirty word. However, if you learn the ins and outs of how to do it and how to approach it with the right attitude, commodities can pay off big time. Ken Roberts, a nationally renowned financial educator and multimillionaire investor, has taught tens of thousands of people how to invest in commodities and manage your own money without depending on a broker for advice. There's a step-by-step process. First, you learn how to invest with a no-risk approach by trading paper. Then, when you're ready, you start using real money. Call 1-888-GOLD-KRC. That's 888-465-3572. Ken will send you a free audio cassette titled Real People, Real Money, and a 40-page report that explains everything. The call and information is free. Call 888-GOLD-KRC, 888-465-3572. It may depend. I've been watching the market. You know, Greenspan is really something. Can you imagine having the power to simply utter some words and have the stock market fall 100 points? There may be, said he, irrational exuberance in the market. Boom, down 100 points. Well, even though inflation is under control, there may be a point at which we will raise interest rates. 70 points. Just words. Whoosh. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Scott from Wichita.
Wichita. Yes, yeah. Sir. KFH country.
You bet. Best station going.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad that you're number one here.
Boy, way out. Just killing them in Wichita. Yes,
and,
sir.
And if I had anything to do about it, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a suggestion for maybe a future show that I think would be kind of neat.
Sure.
You're a ham operator.
I am.
And that is something I'm kind of interested in. I don't know how true this is. This is kind of what I think I've heard in the past. But during the Apollo missions, weren't there a lot of ham operators listening to some of their transmissions?
Yes, there were.
Wouldn't that be a neat show?
There are transcripts going around of things that were supposedly recorded and said by the Apollo astronauts. And I've never heard any actual audio recording, so I'm reserving judgment on whether any of that is true.
Well, let's see, because, you know, I've heard some programs of some of the astronauts seeing funny little things out there,
Listen, all kinds of lines like, oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah, you know, because if by some chance somebody out there that who is a formal ham operator... Luckily, might have.
Well, if there's any audio,
I'm
with you. Thank you. If there's anybody out there who has actual audio recordings of any of that, you know, I would like to lay my hands on them. Now, I've seen transcripts. They can be cooked. I mean, just like they cooked up my death announcement, right? You can cook up anything on the internet, so you've got to beware of that. But actual audio recordings, now that'd be a horse of a different color, and I would love to get my hands on those. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Is this for the Art Bell Show?
Yes, it is.
Hi. I was just calling because he was talking about the earth space and intuition.
Yes, yes. Sneak up on your phone and speak up real loud.
Okay, is that better?
Oh, man, is that better. Yes, okay. Where are you?
I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle. And you've never called before?
No.
But something inside of you said, I should call tonight.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Intuition.
You're very funny. Okay, I'm calling just because my roommate knew that the big earthquake that hit Seattle the last time of summer. He knew 2 weeks beforehand.
What did he say?
He just said one day, just so you know, there's going to be an earthquake. And so we stocked up on water and everything, and I almost thought maybe it wasn't going to happen because it was 2 weeks ahead of time. But then it eventually came. So.
Boy, you know how he could really freak you out?
What?
He could say, you know, sometime in the next couple of weeks, you're going to get hit by a truck.
Hey!
Can you imagine that? After what he already told you, wouldn't that be awful?
I don't know if he'd tell me.
Would you stay home if he said something like that?
Yeah, I probably would. Actually, he knew when we were going to get in a motorcycle accident, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Perhaps your boyfriend should be tested like Travolta in Phenomenon.
Oh, I don't know.
Let's send him to Berkeley and pull him apart and see what makes him tick.
Yeah, but I'm a full believer in intuition.
And well, apparently, scientists are too. Now, there is this big article in the Washington Post today that all of a sudden scientists are saying, well, maybe there is something to intuition.
Yeah.
That's something for science to say, because they generally will only declare something science when it is consistently repeatable.
Yeah.
Right?
You got it.
All right, thanks.
Can I tell you one weird thing, too, though?
A weird thing?
They're finding, in Seattle they found... just recently, two different dogs that have been killed and skinned.
And
that just creeps me out. So.
Skinned?
Yeah, from head to feet. So I just wanted to say, if anybody in Seattle knows anything about it, can they tell the Humane Society? Because it really freaks me out.
Thank you for the call. I who would do a thing like that? Who would do a thing like that? Well... You know, I understand that it is irrational, but there's been a little bit of that going on here. People cutting off cats' tails, that kind of thing. And I know that it's irrational because people call it and say, well, they're just animals. And I know there are people out there killing people. But I tell you, if I caught somebody doing that to an animal, cutting its tail off or killing or skinning a dog alive or something like that, I'd probably go to jail because I'd probably do them in on the spot. I really think I would. And that's irrational because I know people come up and say they're just animals. I don't understand how human beings can treat animals that way. To me, that's so sick that a person that sick doesn't belong walking around. Just like the people that kill people for no reason. They don't belong walking around on the street either. That's, for my taste, that's too much irreverence for life. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
This is Mike in Portland.
Hello, Mike.
You know that story you did a while back with the chip, the computer chip they put in your, behind your visual optic nerve or whatever?
You mean the soul catcher?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, when I get my clone, I'm going to have one myself downloaded. So I'll have a few more years to go. How's that?
Well, I would say that it would be murder. Because
I'm
you,
the one dying.
You're the one dying. Yeah,
if
that's
I
right.
die,
that's
my
right.
chip goes into him.
Well, but at the moment that you take your mind and download it to the clone's mind, wiping the clone's mind out, you have murdered that clone.
I thought it was going to be like a fountain of youth.
Well, it would be.
He would never be
But it would be at the clone's expense.
It'd be more like a son, you know. He'd never be exactly like me as far as age goes. So each time I clone down...
Oh, I hear you. I mean, you'd wake up with a brand new body. But see, you'd be doing it at the expense of the mind of and then probably the soul of the clone.
I guess you got
to... These are the things that we are going to be bumping into with this whole cloning thing.
Yeah, you got to put into account that they're going to have feelings, too, and stuff. They're going to be people.
But what I have gathered from my audience, which is an honest audience, more I think a lot more honest than many of them out there, is that people would do exactly as you're suggesting, to hell with what's right and wrong. If I can get me a new body, I'm going for it.
Well, with people with money, they ain't going to think about anything else.
You're really exactly right, and I appreciate your honesty. Maybe it's not right, but it's honest. And we all know that facing a decrepit, deteriorating old age, given the opportunity to have brand spanking new body, especially knowing what you know now, people are going to take that opportunity, rather than die. They're just going to do it because it's the nature of humanity. So that it really lays out a lot of very basic, important questions about cloning, but I mean, this genie, folks, is out of the bottle. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Art. This is Craig in Old Town, Maine.
Old Town, Maine. Where is that?
That's, you would not know where Bangor is, would you?
Yeah, I do, sure.
It's about 12 miles just to the north of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually calling a couple things. First of all, I'm a Gulf War vet, and one of the things I've had problems with is trying just to get a hold of my medical records.
Really?
I've tried several. I almost couldn't get into college several years ago because I couldn't even get my shot records.
You couldn't even get your shot records?
Yep. They finally gave them to me after about 3 months of trying. And but I still haven't. This is over 5 years. I haven't been able to get anything from my medical records except that.
Did you find anything that was particularly disturbing, I'm curious?
Nope. The only thing that would disturb me is just before I got out, I was told never to give blood again.
Oh, now, see, that would disturb me greatly. That's very disturbing. Never give blood again.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I would imagine that you would say something like, why?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, and so you said why, and what did they say?
They just said because of the pills and to counteract the possibility or build up your resistance to chemical nerve agents,
Yeah.
They said there's a possibility of lingering side effects.
Lingering side effects,
yep,
that should cause you never to give blood again. I would have a lot of questions about that. A lot of Gulf War vets were told the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's the question I've had. Now, like I said, over 5 years, I've requested my medical records numerous times, and I haven't been able to get them.
Holy mackerel.
But, so if you have a, if you said you probably next week you're going to have a show on that?
Are you surprised that two-thirds of the records of Gulf War exposure are, well, seem to be missing?
No, not now. You know, I, up to about a year ago, was thinking this was just some kind of mass hypochondria. But with all the things that have come out, particularly about the possibility of no one thought of a biological contaminant,
mm-hmm,
that the troops, like I did, I was an infantryman.
Well, as I said earlier tonight, all the officials commenting on this only talk about, very carefully, only speak about gas. They don't talk about biologicals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the other scary thing, is they don't want to admit the troops on the ground had no defense against biological weapons. The normal NBC gear,
yep,
their mop suit and whatnot, hey, can't defend against that.
Yep.
I know, and I
think it was used. That's just my opinion, and I went through this earlier. I mean, we all know what Saddam is like. He'll have relatives shot in the head.
Oh, this is a guy who basically got to power because he was nothing more than what we'd consider a mafia hitman.
A murderer.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's absolutely right. And so at a national level, he was getting his butt kicked and backed into the corner. He knew he was losing. If he had biologicals, would he use them? The answer is, if you look at his personality, hell yes, he'd use them.
Oh, of course
did he?
He would. Why
probably
not?
Did. Sure he did.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to comment is, you were talking about the sheep earlier.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this and the frogs they have in Minnesota. Maybe this is part of the quickening.
Sure it is. Sheep, frogs, bugs, yeah, all deformed, fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was thinking, you know, maybe God has finally fed up with us and has had enough. And last comment is, when you said you're going to write a book on this? On the quickening?
I have written a book.
Oh. Where can I get it?
You can't yet.
Ah.
As a matter of fact, just going to the printer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody, please, please, do not, my publisher is going nuts all day long with phone calls. Do not call. When that book becomes available, I will say so.
All right.
All right.
Hey, Art, love the show.
Thank you. Take care. I will tell you when that time comes. And a good guess is going to be between the first and the second week of April. Okay. It's just about March, right? So, you know, about a month, a little over a month from now, the book will be out. So patience, patience, patience. I probably never should have said anything, but I'm really not good at keeping secrets. I don't like secrets, and it just bubbled out of me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Is this Art?
Yes. I'm the only one here.
Are you kidding me? There's no screen or nothing?
Yes.
I'm sorry. It drives me insane when people call up and ask for Art Bell when they know it's not screened.
Well, they don't know that. They've been calling other talk shows, and they get screened into the dirt, and so they're used to it.
Well, I'd really like to send a message to Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah?
Dump Bobby Brown, and I'd love to clone her.
Oh, she is something else, isn't she?
She's a babe.
You're absolutely right. I really like her.
But I would not like a clone of myself.
You must not have much of an opinion of yourself, then.
No, actually, I really don't. And every time I look in the mirror, I get disgusted at myself, but that's beside the point.
That bad, huh?
Well, it can be.
I mean, are you what the average person would look at you and go, oh, ugly?
No, actually, I'm extremely handsome, blonde hair, blue eyes, but I really don't think I am.
You don't think you are
what people,
ugly, you mean?
What?
You don't think you're ugly?
No.
Well, then why are you revolted when you look in the mirror?
Well, I am revolted because I'm alone. And Shannon Doherty?
Yes?
She's ugly.
Well, She's had
She has an ugly personality. Otherwise, she would be very good looking.
Well, yeah, that's the way I look at her. I've got a photograph of her here. It never talks. It never gives me lip. It never says anything to me. It just sits there looking really nice. And, you know, this was, I think, when she was like about 19 or 20. Boy, did she have a baby beautiful face.
Oh, very beautiful.
Man, oh, man.
But, she's
but
so
yeah,
pretty.
I know. I talk to a lot of industry inside people, and they say that she's really foul-tempered. You know, a brat. That's what they say. I don't know. Maybe she's all right.
Well, I couldn't imagine living with her, but, again, Whitney Houston, I'm in love with you.
All right, sir.
And dump Bobby Brown.
All right, thank you. Yeah, it's always hard, you know, when you're really attached to somebody in the media and they suddenly get married. You have this sense of betrayal. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Turn my radio down. This is George, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hi, George.
Hi. One thing that I was calling to let other people know, we have a strange thing. I'm nervous. Going on in Minnesota, we have an individual or two individuals going around in Isani County, and they're abducting dogs and killing them and then bringing them back to the people's property so the owners and stuff find it. And there was a radio show on...
How long has this been going on?
For about 3 months. And they had the sheriff department out there on the radio talking about it where callers and stuff were calling in.
Yeah.
And that sheriff said the worst thing they can do to these people, they might be able to get them with a misdemeanor or a gross misdemeanor. And the neighbors and stuff around the area are almost getting to the point of vigil ante.
Well, I said it earlier, and I really mean it. I'd be in jail or I'd be up for murder, because if I caught someone doing something like that, I'd probably, and I know it's irrational, but I'd probably on the spot take their life and go to jail and then be charged with murder. The sick. Those are really sick people, and I think they ought not be walking around. And if it was me they met up with when they were doing one of these deeds, they wouldn't be walking around anymore. All right, we're going to break here at the top of the hour, and we'll come back and do more of whatever it is you want to do. It's called Open Lines. This is the American CBC Network.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Bell, toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is. Good morning. I'm Art Bell. And it is great to be here. We're doing nothing much of anything, and a lot of just about whatever you want to do. Open lines, in other words, tonight, tomorrow night. It'll be Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, who is a geneticist, a Jesuit priest, and a bioethicist. A combination more easily struck, I think, in the California lottery. Anyway, he'd be the right guy for sure to talk about cloning, and that's exactly what we'll talk to him about tomorrow night. Tonight, Anything you want to do, the weird, the strange, the unusual, that which nearly nobody else will do, I will. Somebody just sent me a fax that says, "Dear Art, please finish the following sentence. If I was a dictator, I would..." And then there's a blank and a period. That's a pretty good question, and I really don't know how I would answer it, especially if I were to answer honestly. If I was a dictator, I would what? Maybe we'll have the audience answer that. Maybe we'll do an hour of... Well, maybe not an hour. How about a half hour? Well, we'll see how it goes. All right. Any line. Any line at all. Any line you can get through on. Of all the telephone lines I've got here. Anybody... All I want you to do is call up and say, "If I was a dictator, I'd..." And then finish that sentence. And then you're off the air. Tell me where you're calling from. Say, "If I was a dictator, I'd..." And then finish the sentence for me. Otherwise, we're talking about Mammoth Lakes rocking and rolling again there. And one day, there's going to be a volcano. The weather in Hawaii, totally odd, and everywhere else for that matter. 100-mile-an-hour winds on the Big Island. Hailstorms, high winds in Michigan throughout into Pennsylvania, very high winds, terrible weather all over the country, flooding near Peoria. It's obviously worsening. A sheep has appeared with a leg growing out of its head. Disgusting. To go along with my 8-legged sheep that I've got on the website. There's a Washington Post article this morning entitled, "Scientists Have a Hunch That Intuition Makes Sense." That's the headline. And they actually are investigating scientifically intuition. It's like they're just discovering that there might really be something to it. I think it's been just about bred out of us, frankly. So, you know, we're talking about all kinds of things here, and whatever you... the Chupacabra story is a big one. I'm not mentioning the television station, but the reporter at it, very nice guy, is sending me a videotape of the Chupacabra. And I'll take a still from that, if I can, and get it up on the Internet for you. So that should be arriving Saturday. I'm sure I'll have it on the net, if it gets here on Saturday. Might not get here till Monday. But if it does, I'll have it up by Dreamland time. That story sounds like it's true. And once again, I am not dead. There is a big, big article circulating out there on the Internet saying that Art Bell is dead. I'm not dead. I've been getting calls from my affiliate saying, "Is Art Bell dead?" And here is an email I got earlier. How would you have answered this? "Hi, Art. Rumor has it you're dead. Is this true? If I don't hear from you, I'll have to assume it is. A tragic loss. If you're not dead, thanks for your reply. Signed, Scott." I didn't answer it, so Scott probably figures I'm dead. The next time I think somebody asks me, I'm going to say yes, but I have arisen. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Now, you got to play the game here. If I was a dictator...
Okay.
Yes?
If I was a dictator, for one, well, I'd get rid of all pedophiles.
All right. Go on, huh? Now, you begin to get the spirit of this. You got to start out by saying, "If I was a dictator," and then finish it off for me. Tell me where you're calling from. Then say, "If I was a dictator." East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, Art?
Okay, well, I'm fine, sir, but you didn't play the game. Now I give you one more chance.
All right. If I was a dictator,
yes.
I would put very much research into disease, attempting to cure diseases, and trying to save the race in general.
All right, well, I don't know if I buy that one. People are always, and I would save mankind, and I would dictate that all people hold hands and have flowers in their hair, and everybody would get along if I was a dictator. come on. You can do better than that. We're talking about ruthless dictatorial power here. Now, again, let me try it again. When I answer the line, you're supposed to say, if I was a dictator, and then finish that sentence. We'll try again. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
CFR, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg.
Yeah, all my friends. So what? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
If I was a dictator, I would take the energy spent in sports activities across the United States and put it into cleaning up various things like drugs and the environment and the normal good stuff like that.
So you mean you'd take people like the Dallas Cowboys and you'd send them out to clean up the drugs in America?
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Mike, you just committed the sin that we have. You're not allowed to give your last name on the air here.
Oh, okay.
So you're Mike. Where are you, Mike?
Creep Corps.
Where is that?
That's just about 5 miles from Pekin, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Are you done? I see you're alive.
It would seem so.
It would seem so. What I was getting at, I heard earlier you were talking about religion and everything else. Have you read the book Black Elk?
No.
No. It's about a medicine Indian man who lived back 1800s. You need to read it sometime if you get a chance.
Why? Why is it good?
Well, he had some visions when he was young, about 9 years old, about the death of the nation, breaking of the hoop. And looks like we did a pretty good job of breaking their hoop, didn't we?
I'm thinking about our own hoop right now. Now, see, you didn't play the game either. Let me try it once more. Just one more time here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tom from Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yes,
how are you tonight?
Fine, Tom.
Glad to hear you're feeling better. You sound much better.
Yes, well, I'm...
I was going to tell you an interesting story.
Weren't you going to tell me what you would do if you were a dictator?
Pardon me?
Weren't you going to tell me what you would do if you were a dictator?
What I would do?
Yep.
Well, I don't know what I'd do. Really, I don't. I don't think I'd want to be a dictator.
But that's not the question.
What I would do?
Yeah, that's right. You're a dictator whether you like it or not. You've got a crown. Your every word is everybody's command. All you've got to do is speak, and it will be so.
Well, I don't know. I'd probably take everybody out and shoot them all and sit up on my throne and enjoy the rest of my life, I guess.
Yeah, Lennon on the line. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. If I were a dictator?
Yes.
I'd probably eliminate all the people that do cruelty to animals. I don't know how I'd eliminate them, but it upsets me. I don't want to start crying here.
Liquefy them, that's how. You have them liquefied with prejudice. Liquefied with prejudice. Anybody would be cruel to animals. Come on now, you're getting in the spirit of it here. I want fast calls, folks. If I were a dictator... You finish that sentence for me. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
If I were dictator, Art, I would probably have to say that I would make all information that basically can only be found on your show mainstream.
It might be a more fun world. First time caller line, you're on the air.
If I were a dictator, I would ban commercials that insult your intelligence and waste time.
Well, that would remove an awful lot of what's on the air, wouldn't it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
If I was a dictator, I'd rule an army of chupacabras!
Well, look, an army of chupacabras would probably rule you. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
If I was a dictator, I'd hang around Tom and Mary Gator.
Would you now? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. I'm calling from Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth.
Yep.
And if you were a dictator from Duluth?
If I was, I'd get rid of the Supreme Court, first of all.
An entire branch of government? Gone? Whoosh!
That's our modern God.
All right. Thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
If I were a dictator, I would decree that all national interests shall come second to the human population dilemma, which shall be foremost among all issues until we have a firm handle on the problem.
Well, those are just words, but as a dictator, what would you actually do about the population problem? Come on, let's hear it.
It's a difficult issue, and we need a lot of people working on it.
Oh, come on. You sound like Bill Clinton.
Deal with the issue.
You sound like an elected Clinton. Give me a dictator's view of how you would handle population.
Well, there is the way China has dealt with it.
Most people have reacted badly
to the way the Chinese chose to handle the situation. I would pull as many good minds as I could.
Oh, you're doing a Clinton. Come on.
It's not a Clinton.
Let's get a committee and study it. All right, you're no dictator. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell. Holy cow, first time caller. Wow. Ed from Illinois.
How you doing?
Not bad. If I were a dictator, I would go ahead and legalize marijuana and use the tax off it to get us out of deficit. On top of that, I'd go into Congress, get rid of everybody in there, start a new clean slate, keep Mr. Clinton in there. I don't think he's really doing too bad of a job. I believe there's a lot of people working now. Let's see.
But he'd just be a figurehead to you, right?
True.
All right.
And on top of this, new law they got, this CDL, what a joke. Completely get rid of that. Start over with something that has a little more sense.
All right. Well, thank you. Of course, that would be to you. It's subjective, right? Well, but you're the dictator. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Now, if I were a dictator,
yes,
I would have 10-minute trials, more 10-minute trials, and 15-minute hangings.
10-minute trials and 15-minute hangings.
Yes, we would just eliminate the, all the lawyers and everything. Get rid of them.
Can you imagine the Simpson trial in 10 minutes? That would have been cool.
Well, that's the problem. You got these guys who get convicted or get arrested, and then they don't even go to trial for months or even years.
10-minute trials. Well, all right, thank you. There is a practical idea. 10-minute trials and 15-minute hangings. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi. If I were a dictator,
yeah,
I would eliminate all of the criminals that are violent, and especially those that are waiting on death row.
Liquidate them immediately.
Yes, and I would also curb population.
By?
And
by
the entire world.
Wait a minute. How would you curb population?
It would be by dictatorship. You would have no children if you were lesser intelligence, or you would have one or two. It has to come eventually anyway.
No children if you are of lesser interest. So there would have to be an IQ test, right?
Yes, and I would eliminate all of the
you'd have to be absolutely
totally insane in the asylum.
Oh, the insane.
Which is just as bad as a prison.
All right, thank you. When you get right down to it in society, it is a truism that women are far crueler and would make more harsh dictators than men. And if you doubt that, you just keep listening. I mean, do you hear what she would do? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, if I was a dictator.
Yes, where are you, by the way?
In Texas.
And if you were a dictator?
I would eliminate all the privileges that prisoners have and just give them bread and water twice a day. And
what about color TV?
None of that.
Oh, boy.
They'd be stuck in their cells 24 hours a day and eat bread and water. They wouldn't have commissary, TV, recreation, art classes, college classes, or anything like that.
My God, you'd make it a real prison?
Because they're supposed to be punished, not get a college education.
All right. Well, see, we should be asking ourselves, why would it take a dictator to do that, Only a democracy or a representative democracy republic like we are gives color TVs and rec rooms. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
If I was a dictator, I would have JC and Will man the Chupacabra tunnels. Thank you.
You're welcome. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
If I were a dictator, if I were a dictator, what I would do is I would look into, I would analyze all of the races, and I would check into the ones that to distinguish which one had godlike qualities, and those that distributed ungodlike qualities, I would first of all put them in check, because there seem to be a group of people on the face of the earth that distributes no compassion toward others. They're selfish. They want to rule at any cost.
Well, let us define put them in check. What do you mean put them in check?
First of all, if I was a dictator, I would have command of nuclear weapons that would get their respect.
Because
that's all that these people seem to understand is violence, because I hear some of them call tonight and say what all they would do to some people in a justice system who has proven it's not fair, and it is so faulty, it's a shame that half of the people in there are probably in there under false pretenses.
Well, there's a new line of thinking. Nuclear weapons, not for a foreign use, but for domestic use. Nuclear weapons for domestic policy enforcement. That really is new. I'm going to have to think about that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. If I were a dictator, I would take care of violent criminals. I would...
We need specifics, sir. As a dictator...
Yes, I have a specific.
All right.
I would take a first-time violent offender, such as a rapist or a murderer, and I would make them view the execution of their own clone. And tell them that's a preview of what's coming if they do that again.
Cool. Very good. In other words, there would be a clone... Probably one with a very limited brain, and he would execute them in front of their eyes so they would know what was coming. But would that be fair to the clone? Oh, this clone thing is going to be a problem. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art. This is Mike calling from Willits, California.
Yes.
And if I were a dictator, I would force, upon pain of death, all people to live in peace.
Oh, the Rodney King of dictators. You will all get along, or else. And again, we reference the domestic use of nuclear devices. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Well, I suppose if I was a dictator, I would probably eliminate the IRS, the Federal Reserve, go back into gold standard, require people for population control to pass an economic mean standard and an intelligence. That's just to start with. And on the clone thing, maybe clone a few really great-looking women with intelligence and personality.
All right. Well, see, if you're a dictator, you could do that and have them, of course, at your beck and call. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Mike from Evansville, and if I were a dictator, I would require all families, be they divorced or married, common law or what, to spend a bare minimum of 1 hour with their children or themselves at a family meal each day.
Or what?
Or what?
Yep.
Oh, pain of death, of course.
Pain of death. All right. Family values. First-time callers call area 702-727-1222. Zap. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
Hi, this is Bob in Dallas.
Hi, Bob.
And if I were a dictator?
Yes, Bob.
I'd dictate in the morning all over the land.
Oh, thank you, Bob. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, if I was a dictator, I'd get rid of all these other dictators who keep calling.
Well, with prejudice, right?
Yeah.
All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. This is Jim from Austin.
Hi, Jim from Austin.
If I was a dictator...
Yes, Jim.
I would pass a law that says...
You don't have to pass laws. You just speak and it shall be done.
Oh, okay. I would say that anyone who wants a divorce,
yes,
whoever wins the case,
yes,
has to pay all expenses, and the other person gets to come and go whenever they want.
Uh-huh. I think he's had a bad experience. What do you folks think? This is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Hartbell is taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Hartbell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Hartbell.
All right. Well, we've heard from the dictators. We'll go back to regular calls now, I guess. Dear Art, from the home office in Alhambra, California, the top 10 societal impacts of the clone age. 1. Paranoia grows. Is that fella behind me a clone? 2. Out magazine stops outing gays and begins outing clones. 3. The ACLU doubles its membership by admitting clones for civil rights movement. Health insurance companies require newborns to get clone insurance. Celebrity clone shops. Celebrity clone shops open in Beverly Hills so you can buy a copy of your favorite celebrity. No more stalking required. Radio City Rockets become absolutely identical. Minnesota Twins baseball team becomes the Minnesota Clones. New chapters of Narcissists Anonymous spring up everywhere. Deja vu becomes a constant everyday feature of life, and mirrors become obsolete. And here's somebody who says, Art, if I were a dictator, I'd remove all the air conditioning in government buildings in Washington, D.C. Man, that'd clear them out, wouldn't it? I've got an article here, which is from the Contra Costa Times, entitled Chicks Turn the Tables with Field Guide to American Men. This is really, really lowbrow stuff. Chicks Turn the Tables with Field Guide to American Men. This is a guide to American men. She lists in it the diets, nest types, plumage, habitats, sexual displays, and mating calls of more than 50 of the most common species of men. We learn here about their foraging techniques, mating behavior, and every class from the pretentious serious theater man or corporate lawyer guy to the pathological Don Juan and bitter freeloading journalist is accompanied with an illustration displaying each man's characteristic markings. Oh, my God. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art Bell.
Hi.
First time I've ever called in, obviously.
Well, that's right. That's why we have the first time caller line.
Yeah, well, I know.
Where are you?
I'm in Austin.
Austin. Boy, a lot of calls from Austin.
Well, I'm a late night person anyway. I listen to you every night. I've been listening to you for, I guess, ever since this talk radio started on the FM.
Yep. Big deal in Austin, let me tell you.
Yeah, I've been really fascinated by your guest, and especially by, I guess, J.C.
J.C., you know what? I have not heard from J.C. since his big one-hour guest appearance on the program.
Well, you know, I think that's what he needed.
Maybe he was satiated.
I guess so.
And went away.
One can only hope.
Or changed his ways and have seen the light or the darkness. Whatever.
Well, I know if I was dictator, I would make sure people like that didn't control our world. But what I would do, actually...
Can you imagine if J.C. were a dictator?
Oh, God.
Exactly.
He would all be dead.
Exactly.
He would push the button immediately.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord.
Love God or die.
Yeah.
I've just begun to contemplate the use of domestic nuclear weapons for domestic policy enforcement. Anyway... You called for a reason, I'm sure. Pardon?
You could only use it one time.
Not necessarily. I mean, field-grade nuke, you could take out neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, maybe big
effect.
Neighborhoods.
Yeah, just take to wipe out everything, because then you wouldn't have anything to look at.
To, or to dictate to.
Yeah. Well, a dictator's only as good as the amount of people that serve you.
That's exactly right. So you can't, I guess, get too brutal. Hi, Art. The scientists in Japan have been studying the use of fish as earthquake sensors. I don't know how successful they were. By the way, if anyone asks if you're dead, you can reply that you have risen. Yeah, I'm doing that now. It's a good idea. The high winds and hail on the Big Island of Hawaii only affected that island. The other islands had high gusts, but not that bad, right? I would like to get some calls from the Big Island of Hawaii. How about that, folks? Kona, Hilo? How about it? West of the Rockies, call me from the Big Island. Are you on the Big Island? Let's hear from a few people there. I really would like to hear about this wind. I mean, there's no good reason why would they have that kind of... And then a hailstorm? I mean, we are talking here about eternally perfect Hawaii, where they never have bad weather. Never! The worst that is suffered generally, or used to be in Hawaii, would be a middle-of-the-day rainstorm, you know? Sort of a tropical-type rainstorm, and it rains like hell for a little while and stops, sun comes out, and it's paradise again. So I would like to hear from the Big Island. Would everybody on the west of the Rockies line hold off for a moment? If you're on the Big Island of Hawaii, call me now at 1-800-618-8255. I try to do this. It never works, but I'm going to try. 1-800-618-8255. People on the Big Island only. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Listen, if I were a dictator,
yeah.
Number one thing I would do would be a lottery once a year, not for money, but to allow a person to make a law. Then there would be another vote. The country would vote on whether his law was good.
Law by lottery?
Law by lottery.
Well, that's not dictatorial, though. That's a sort of a dictatorial democracy sort of kind of weird thing.
True.
You'd be better. See, really, as a dictator, to hell with laws. You would just say the way it is, and it would be done.
Well, how about all women must put the toilet seat up?
There would be value in that.
I think so, too.
There would be value in that. In homes, of course, only where males live.
True.
In homes where only females reside, they do whatever the heck they want.
True.
All right, that seems fair to me. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Dave, Scott Air Force Base. When I become dictator...
That's very optimistic.
Yeah. Biggest decree I'd pass down is first offense on any felony, mandatory 5 years. Second offense, death. Plus, I'd bring back the War Department. That's it.
So you wouldn't have a big problem with jails because the second offenders would be in the ground.
Yeah. Okay. Get rid of prison overcrowding and it'd be kind of a torrent.
I understand. It would. What do you think would happen if we did that? I mean, absolutely, ruthlessly, as he suggests, say, first offense, felony, 5 years, second offense, no appeal, death. How would that affect the crime stats? Well, eventually it would affect them very positively, wouldn't it? Very positively. And you could do that if you were a dictator, couldn't you? On my Big Island line, you're on the air. Are you on the Big Island of Hawaii?
Yes, actually, my cousin and I are, but we're actually located in Sacramento at this point in time.
You're in Sacramento?
Yes.
Well, then you don't qualify, sir. Thank you for the call. See, now I'm holding that line open for only people on the Big Island of Hawaii. The Big Island. Not Oahu. Not Maui. Not Kauai. But the Big Island only. Narrowed down to the Big Island. I want to talk to somebody there. On the Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello. Well, see. Hung up right away. The Big Island only. On the Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello.
Doohickey.
Well, see. When somebody starts out the call with doohickey, I know they're not on the Big Island. On my Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes.
Where are you?
I'm in California.
Now, California may one day be a Big Island. But it isn't now, sir. You also don't qualify. Come on, just let me get a couple of calls from the Big Island, will you? Of Hawaii. I want to hear from somebody on the Big Island of Hawaii about the winds and the hail and all the weird weather over there. So everybody else, stop calling. On my Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello. Are you on the Big Island?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
Where on the Big Island?
Maui.
See, you're not even smart enough to know that Maui is not the Big Island. So you're immediately disqualified as well. Not good liars. Maui is a separate island altogether. I'm talking about the island of Hawaii itself, the big one. On my Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello.
Sir.
Are you on the Big Island?
No.
No. You see, people do not follow instructions. This is why teachers are so frustrated. Write your name on the top line, they will say. 30% of the people do it. The other 70% do something entirely different or nothing at all. What a frustrating life it must be. West of the Rockies, on the Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello. Are you there? No, see, somebody else. Nothing better to do. All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. If I were a dictator, I would make the actor Jason Scott Lee be my undying love slave, and when I died, you would be my successor, and if you were a dictator, you would have anyone who calls and leaves their radio on automatically electrocuted.
Wow. I've been telling this audience that women make better natural dictators than men. This is a fact that most of the dictators in the world, of course, have been men. But I believe in the quickening world, in the future, they will be women, and they will make the great dictators of our time look like pussycats. When women really come to power, they will be so brutal. They will redefine the word brutal. West of the Rockies, no, Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, no, Hilo.
You're in Hilo?
Yes.
You're really in Hilo, Hawaii?
Yes.
Tell me something about Hilo.
Lots of wind, lots of rain.
Quick. Another total fabrication job. Only from the Big Island. West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. And we're listening carefully to your voice so that, you know, when you tell your fib, we'll all know. We'll remember your voice. West of the Rockies on my Big Island line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You are sorry. Very one of the sorriest callers I've had. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, Dan from Fargo.
How you doing?
Oh, fine. You know, all the cloning stuff, I enjoy the jokes, but I think some people seem to forget something pretty obvious. We have natural clones among us, tens of thousands. So like when the fellow was talking about putting to death someone's clone, that'd be like killing an identical twin. Identical twins are natural, you know, the same genetics. Oh, boy, I'm tired.
No, it would be. It would be like putting to death an identical twin. Absolutely true.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. People forget. I know, it's like they're thinking of them as sort of robots or something, but they wouldn't be. They'd be...
Well, there is a question, though. There really is a question, and that is, and I'm sincere when I ask this. If you were to say, if we cloned you...
Yeah.
All right. From a little bit of your skin or a little bit of your blood or whatever yielded up the DNA that we needed, and we had an identical you, in every sense, every way, would you have a separate soul? Would your clone have a separate soul?
Yeah, I would say yes, in the same way identical twins do, because, again, an identical twin, it's just that it was done...
Yeah, but an identical twin is an act of God.
Okay.
A clone is an act of man.
True, but I don't think the person, if it was a person, it would be a person, whether it was...
Well, but last I heard, man is not the issuer of souls.
Well, I still think that lamb is a lamb. I mean, the one that was created. I mean, whatever person, what soul an animal has, it.
Well, if an animal has a soul, that's why when you see the surveys, the national surveys, people are not very disturbed about the cloning of animals. They say that's okay. But like 87% or something like that are really freaked out over the cloning of humans. And it's because most people, most religious folk, don't really believe that animals have souls.
Well, just going back to the cloning of a person, obviously it was done later in a person's life. Obviously, when nature cloned, if you will, you know, they create an identical twin, it's done at the same time. If you cloned yourself, the person would be starting off X number of years behind you. You know.
Well, that's correct.
And the other thing, too, is to remember is they've done extensive studies on identical twins. And even though they are the same genetic material, and in most cases there's been a few where they've been separated and they've studied both, even the ones that have grown up in the same household, they sometimes grow up with slightly different attitudes. You know, they sometimes have slightly different preferences. Yes, they're so much the same, but they still have separate identities. A clone would still be a separate person, a separate soul, a separate identity.
Well, that remains to be seen when we begin cloning human beings. I wouldn't say that's an absolute. And that's not a religious view that I'm giving you. It's just that I don't know. I don't know that a clone would possess what we think of as a soul. Sure, maybe it would. But it would be an act of man, not an act of God. And if God is the one who sees to it from the great guff that the soul is inculcated into the body at whatever moment it is, and we are the ones doing the creation, then maybe they would be soulless beings. Who knows? Well, let me try my Big Island line again. I'm trying to get a call from the Big Island of Hawaii, and I'm asking everybody else not to call, and of course, nobody's paying any attention to that. The number is 1-800-618-8255, only if you're from the Big Island of Hawaii. Otherwise, don't call. Let them get through. I want to talk to somebody on the Big Island. West of the Rockies, the Big Island line, you're on the air.
Hello, have you ever heard of the Shroud of Turin?
Yes, of course I have, but I can't discuss it with you if you're not on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh.
You're not, are you?
No, I'm not. Sir,
well, see, this is a total misbehavior on your part.
Don't you think we should clone Christ, though?
Well, who's to say there's DNA from Christ on the... Look, get off my line. Who's to say there is any DNA on the Shroud of Turin anyway? It's very controversial anyhow. Anyway, you shouldn't be on my line unless you're on Hawaii. Hello?
Are you still taking calls from Hawaii?
I'm trying to take calls from Hawaii, yeah.
All right, I'm from Kona.
You're in Kona, Hawaii?
Kona Coast.
Kona Coast. Finally! It only took me, like, what, 25 minutes?
I turned the radio off. I was trying to get through, and it kept being busy.
Oh, well, that's because there were all these clones calling from all over the place, lying and trying to say they're from Hawaii. So you are from Kona?
Yes.
All right, well, we've had a lot of news reports about high winds and then hail in Hawaii.
Well, you know it snows there, right?
I suppose up on the mountains.
Yes.
But what's it with this 100-mile-an-hour wind stuff?
It's natural, Pacific wind.
What Pacific winds? I always heard Hawaii had gentle trade winds.
Depending on where you live. On each island or where you go. Like at the vacation spot, there are generally trade winds and everything.
Yeah.
And there's on each island, there's a desert spot, a garden spot for the tourists.
Where the weather's really nice.
Yeah.
But then there's secret
like
spots.
Let's say a real popular spot in Maui is Paea.
Uh-huh.
And it's generally a windsurfing spot.
But on the other hand, if you're sitting up on top of Haleakala,
yeah,
it's going to be some pretty wild weather, huh?
Yeah, it's very, very cold.
I've got you. Yeah, I've been up on Haleakala. It's really a neat place.
Right,
all right, well, listen, great hearing from you. Thank you for making my night.
Okay.
See you later. Now, if I were a dictator, what do you think I would have done with all those callers who weren't even paying attention to what I was trying to do? Huh? Shredded, that's what, with prejudice.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Actually, I'm nearly always on the edge of out of control. Huh. Top of the morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Great to be with you. I've got financial news for you after the piano part. I mean, you listen to this guy get down on the piano. Oh, I'll tell you, if I could play the piano like that, I wouldn't be talking. I love piano. Under the category of it figures, here we go. Art, I wanted to let you know that in this week's Variety, here in Hollywood, if she could. Anyway, in Hollywood, they published the year's filming calendar, and one of the films to begin shooting in September is Chupacabra, Avalon Systems, film location San Juan, Puerto Rico, executive producer, blah, 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 blah. Thought you'd find it interesting, Mark. Mark sent that to me. So there you are. It figured. A movie called Chupacabra, filmed in San Juan. It absolutely figured that should be something. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah.
Hello.
This is KXLE. Ellsberg.
Now, you've got your radio on, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's an absolute no-no. I thought you knew that. Got to turn your radio off.
Is that better?
Well, it's off. That's always better, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about that Mel's Hole.
What about it?
Well, they're just training for the black hole.
You okay, sir? No, I don't think he's all right at all. I don't think he knew what he wanted to say or how to say it. Or if he did, he was incapable of it. east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Art, it's an honor.
Well, hi.
It's Tom from Elgin, Illinois.
Elgin, Illinois.
Just on the outskirts of Chicago.
Well, all right.
I always enjoy your show.
WLS.
Art, I want to tell you two quick things.
Okay.
Michael Eisner and Ted Turner are trying to buy up the world.
Well, more power to them.
And if the Chicago Tribune doesn't start spending more money on their baseball team, I'm ready to end my subscription to them.
Really?
Yes.
You feel that strongly about baseball?
Absolutely. I am a Cubs fan. I am a diehard Cubs fan, and God knows we've been dying for the last 25 years. I'm only 35 years old,
uh-huh.
Art, and I'm still waiting for a winner on the north side of Chicago. You know what
I'm saying? Well, I hope that before your life ends, there is some pleasure for you.
Now, I hear the L.A. Dodgers are for sale. Do you think Walt Disney will buy them up, too?
Maybe Ted Turner will.
Well, he already owns the Braves. I don't think
You just finished saying that he wants to own the world.
Yeah, him and Michael Eisner.
You know what? You know what Ted Turner once said?
What?
And I've always reflected on this. He said that having everything you want, having all the money you want, everything you want, is kind of an empty bag. In other words, when you really get so rich that you could have anything in the world,
yeah,
it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it must be up in his stratosphere.
And I think he said that to make all of us feel better, and it does make me feel better.
I wonder how much he paid to stay in the Lincoln bedroom. I mean, him and 900 other people.
I know. There's all kinds of stories now going around about that, thank you, that the president and first lady were well aware all of that was going on, you know, that the Lincoln bedroom was renting out like Motel 6. And when there were people staying there they didn't want to see, they would avoid them by scheduling something else. You know, even though they're staying in the White House, they would avoid them. So I was thinking of starting a bidding war on somebody staying in my uplink room. That's what we call it, the uplink room. It's adjacent to where I am right now. It's a bedroom, but it has uplink machinery in it, you know, satellite uplink machinery. And right now, there are a lot of people that can claim they've stayed in the White House, but there's nobody save my mom who can claim they've spent a night in the uplink room. And we wouldn't even avoid you. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Annie in Seattle.
Hello, Annie.
Hey, I was wondering, all those times you're talking about the sleep paralysis.
Yes.
What was the summation of that, a supernatural thing?
Well, sleep paralysis is the first step, if you let it go, toward an out-of-body experience.
Okay, because I've heard a lot lately that when people wake up and they think it's something's wrong with them, they're saying that everybody's body does get paralyzed so that you don't act out your dreams, and that there's like different parts of your brain while you're asleep, and one part might wake up and you're paralyzed, or the other part of your brain might stay asleep and then you have sleepwalking.
I know a lot of people have that condition when fully awake.
Yeah. Oh.
I do.
Many
of them call me. One did just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you very much for the call. But anyway, that's it. Sleep paralysis followed, they say, by an out-of-body experience. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, I'm Sherry from the Roseburg, Oregon area.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I've never called before.
Well, that's all right.
I'm getting on this line.
It's allowable.
Had some good stuff. I just started listening to you not too long ago.
Pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, it is fun.
That's right.
I really agreed with the guy a while ago that was talking about the crime situation, and that would get rid of a lot of the population problem, too.
Are you talking about the guy who said one felony and you get
right.
5 years and two felonies and you're dead.
Right. If I was a dictator, there's about three things I'd do.
And that'd be one of them?
That'd be one of them.
I wonder how long, theoretically, it would take for the crime situation in America to completely reverse. In other words, if people weren't paying attention, why, it would take quite a while because you'd have to be disposing of a lot of people. But eventually it would be cured. Or people would recognize that you're really deadly serious and they would stop committing crimes.
Right.
And it would be fixed right away.
The next thing I would do is I wouldn't let scientists handle cloning that didn't even figure out what to do with nuclear waste before they used it. If they're that dumb that they don't think ahead that far, they shouldn't be messing around with cloning.
Well, who would be allowed to mess with cloning? Nobody?
I don't think so.
Okay.
In fact, listening to your callers, I couldn't believe between the animals, you know, and the lack of caring about life, period, you know.
I'm not sure.
It's a sad situation.
I think that's right. I don't think that as a race, we are ready for cloning. But
not at all. There's
but
so
it's
much
here.
Evil with people, you know.
Yep.
There's evil dictators, you know.
Yep, yep. But it's here, and the genie's out of the bottle here, and we're going to have to, somehow we're going to have to handle it.
Well, the next thing I'd do before giving up my dictatorship is I would return the country to the Constitution and become a republic. Then I'd be giving up my dictatorship.
I see. Well, so you'd be fairly benign. Thank you. I have found over the years of doing talk radio and doing these sorts of topics that women are incredibly more brutal than men, and I am firmly convinced that when women reach their full potential politically, power-wise, and we finally do get some serious women dictators, you know, they'll make dictators like Lenin look like pussycats. I guarantee it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, great to talk to you.
Yes, good
time caller, and I'm calling from the Big Island.
Oh, you are?
I'm calling from Kealakekua.
I couldn't say that quickly. Say it again.
Kealakekua.
Oh, right. Where is that?
This is on the Kona side.
Okay.
And what's been happening here is the storm, we had sheet lightning.
Sheet lightning?
Night.
That is scary stuff.
It was ongoing for a period of at least most of the night. And we had hail.
Hail?
We had hail. Quarter-inch hail is what the news said from South Point to Pahala up on the on the south side of the island.
And then I guess several days ago there were big winds?
There was winds on the summit. I heard gusts up to 120.
Really?
Kona didn't get it too bad. We got a few gusts, maybe 30 or 40, but nothing real big.
Boy, I'll tell you, the weather is getting strange.
Yeah. Hey, Art, I love your show. I discovered it about 3 months ago around the Courtney Brown
episode. Oh, yes. The great Courtney Brown episode.
I hurt my shoulder. I couldn't sleep. And I'm listening to you on KHVH from Honolulu because KKON and Kona goes in and out, and they don't carry the full 5 hours.
I see.
But there's something wrong with the antenna over here. But I do love your show, and I'm real honored to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you called, sir. Thank you very much from the Big Island. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
My name is Roger. I'm from San Antonio.
Hello, Roger.
And, I guess you heard about all that Chupacabra stuff.
Oh, I know. Listen, I've got a videotape on the way.
Well, I can't wait to see that.
Well, I will ensure that you do.
Oh, I got the newscast of it today at 6. I tape-recorded that, but it didn't really give you any information. You know, being a former journalist in college, you know, it didn't really dig deep at all. It just was really vague. But I'm really from El Paso, Texas, and I was really wanting to know if you know anything about the Martha Lights. If you've heard anything about the Martha Lights out of Martha, Texas.
Yeah, sure I have.
I was wondering if you, what did you know or what have you heard anything about that? I've grown up with that my whole life, and I've driven by them many times.
Well, I have seen them, you know, on video, but I've never seen them in person, and I've known about them for years. I have no idea, like everybody else, I have no idea what they are.
Well, see, there is many, I mean, they've had people like chase them all the way down to the border to Mexico, which is approximately anywhere from about 50 to 100 miles. I don't know exactly the distance.
So they're crossing the border illegally?
No, no, the lights, they don't know what they are. They're just...
I was joking.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, you know, everything out there. Probably drug runners, you know, you never know what's going on out there. But, having grown up there all my life, I've heard a lot of stories about it. Supposedly there was an Air Force base out there that they... That closed down after the 40s, and my father remembers this. And but they say that it's supposedly Hitler looking for something or out there.
Well,
you know,
that's just
a rumor. I mean,
yeah, that sounds like kind of a stretch.
Yeah, that is a very big stretch. You know, but you know, you hear from one thing to the next, but there's no explanation for this at all. And I've never really heard an explanation of it. And it just looks like there's an airport way out in the middle of nowhere that just has a beacon out there. But I just never, I mean, of course you've seen it, but for the listeners who have it.
It's just one of those things that happens because it's Texas.
You know, you got an Elmore base, and you got secret school, and which I've kind of like wanted to be looking for, actually, to kind of see that area. But you know, it's just really interesting to see the morphology, but it's just it's a mystery. I mean,
it is a mystery, sir. You're right. Thank you. There are many, many, many mysteries and things that perhaps there will never, ever be answers for. But those lights have been consistently appearing for as long as I can recall. I read about them, and finally I saw them. They're remarkable. What are they? Nobody really knows. Nobody knows. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, you just had a caller from San Antonio.
Yes.
Who saw this newscast, I guess. I'm in Austin, Texas. This is JJ from Austin.
You know, the story, JJ, is that the chupacabra, or whatever it is, has been taken to Austin for examination.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you reported that last night, I was one of the good people that did not call up and harass
Kay.
I'm sorry?
Do not give those call letters on the air. I promised the guy they went nuts all.
I'm sorry. I'm sure you could push the button on that one.
No, I just went...
Okay, good. Sorry about that.
You
I was one of the good people.
Who didn't call the station. That's good.
But I immediately, beginning at 6 a.m. when your show ends here, began an investigation of my own. And from the looks of it, I'm guessing that this is probably going to become a buried story. It's going to be forgotten by the media.
I shall not let that happen because I've got a friend there who is a reporter at blah 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 TV station,
okay.
And he's sending me a videotape, and I'm going to take a still from it, put it up on the website.
I'm curious, what kind of videotape is this?
VHS.
I mean, like, is it a videotape of the corpse?
Yep.
Okay, that explains a little bit. What I did today is I got up and I assumed that they would take it to the University of Texas for study.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately began combing, beginning at the biology lab, and began asking questions.
Right.
And raising a lot of interest around the campus.
Oh, bet, yeah.
And nobody had heard anything. Nobody had a clue as really what I was talking about. A couple people knew what I was referring to, but they didn't really, they hadn't heard anything about this. And they were sincere about it. They convinced me.
Right.
And then I ended up going to Animal Resources Center, which is extremely heavily secured. This is where they do all the animal experimentations.
Uh-huh.
It's secured for protest reasons, you know, animal rights activists.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would probably be the place that they would take it to, but it's a very disease-controlled environment. I don't know if they would want to bring something unknown there.
Well, plus, if they did, they probably wouldn't tell you.
No, I realize that, and I got snubbed at the door, I'll have you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I did a little bit of asking around, like students and people
right,
that I saw coming in and out of the building, just asking.
Can you hold during our break?
Sure.
All right, then stay right there. Austin, Texas, once again. Boy, we're lighting up Austin. Good morning, everybody. This is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
The heavens hollow ghost, let sweet pride. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days besides. She's kind of music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She's got better days besides.
Art Bell is taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Once again, here I am, top of the morning, everybody. Back now to Austin, Texas. And I just got another fax from Austin. It's from Ken and Susan in Austin. And it says, Dear Art, fire ants, killer bees, and now chupacabras. What's next? Have you had fire ants and killer bees down there?
I have never seen any myself. Of course, I'm kind of new to the area.
Ah.
I come originally from Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
And basically, since I've been down here, I've discovered you and all kinds of cool information. What I was doing this morning, I was trying to track down where they might have taken this thing in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying earlier, I was combing the university, and as the university ended up, I got snubbed at the ARC building. So I got on the phone with the Department of Health. I thought they might possibly take it to the State Department of Health. This is the Texas Capitol.
Right.
So they've got, like, the labs for where they take rabid dogs that are found that test and experiment on them or whatever they need to do. I figured that would be possibly where they would have taken this. And I called up the lab and spoke with somebody in the lab, and it was kind of an odd phone call, but I don't think that it was there either. They ended up denying any knowledge of it. They got as much information as I had to give them just from the report I got from your show last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was referred to the Southern Texas Parks and Wildlife Services, and that kind of made some sense too, but that wasn't located in Austin. That was located in San Antonio. If that was the department that had it, why would they have brought it from San Antonio to Austin? So I'm pretty sure that if it came to Austin, it went to one of the two places that I was checking out today.
You know one thing you can't be sure of?
What's that?
That it's dead.
I don't think that thought hasn't crossed my mind either.
Well, there you are. I mean, the Austin streets tonight, I tell you, I'd want to be with a friend.
Well, that brings up something very, very cool that I would really like to share on your show one last thing. I've noticed people's response to this. I've been noticing, like, people that I have personally told this news to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the fear is just, you can see it, and you could cut it with a knife, you know, and it's coming out. In
so Austin is not the same kind of place tonight.
No, I don't think so. But the fear is like...
I mean, I can close my eyes, and I can, like, see this thing on a table, you know, to be dissected or examined.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, about this time of the morning, because that's when these kinds of things happen.
Exactly.
If you close your eyes, you can see the scaly back on it. You can see it beginning to twitch. You know, and one of the eyes beginning to... And you can take it from there. Listen, I've got to run.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much for the call. By the way, I'm in my own... I'm on my own website right now, and I'm in something called the Sneaker Chat Room. Anybody wants to come in? The Sneaker Chat Room. It's on my website, www.artbell.com. First time I've ever been in this particular chat room, the Sneaker Chat Room. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello there.
Yes, this is Craig from Syracuse, New York.
Hello, Craig.
Yes, if I were a dictator, what I would do, first off, I would use HAARP to manipulate and control all the people in the world.
What makes you think that our elected dictators, I mean representatives, are not already doing that now?
They may be, but if I were to do it,
yes,
I would eliminate the cash and cause everyone to receive a computerized implant in their hand,
cool,
in their forehead.
Cool.
And then...
We know who you are. We have your number. We know you by your number.
I would then move into the temple in Jerusalem and proclaim myself God and start killing off Christians.
It really is you, isn't it?
He's coming. Just beware.
All right, thank you. It was him. From Sarah. So now we know where he is. Syracuse, New York. Syracuse, New York. That's where he is. And you could tell he was on the move, probably using cellular. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art?
Yes.
Yes.
Extinguish your radio for me, please.
Okay, hold on.
Hold
okay,
it.
I'm calling from Mexicali, Mexico.
All right.
Yeah, I was trying to get to the show about a year. I couldn't get on the line. So I just wanted to congratulate about your show, tell you everybody here in Mexicali hears your show.
Well, it's nice. I know that you guys listen down there, but it's hard.
It's a problem because...
I know. It's hard to call.
Yeah, it's hard to call, and also the we get the Las Vegas station here, down here.
Oh?
And it, you can't hear it very well, so you gotta have, like, a real good radio.
A good radio.
Yeah, to get your show, so... Well...
There might be... You know what you might try in Mexicali?
Yeah.
760, I would think, would come in very well from San Diego, 50,000 watts from San Diego.
Oh, I try that because I used to live in San Diego.
Yep.
And when I came down here, so it doesn't work.
Might have a local interference.
Yeah,
station.
Something like that. Well, keep up the good work, Art.
Thank you, my friend. That's Mexico. Yeah, you can hear us pretty much all over Mexico. But it's very hard to call from Mexico. It really is. It's very hard. I think that Mexico should be added to the international line, and by the way, I never give out the number. What's the matter with me? If you're out there internationally, let me give you the number. Here's how you would call us. You call the AT&T operator. Or you get the country code, the AT&T USA direct country code, and then dial 800-893-0903. Try right now. It's free from anywhere in the world. Anywhere. Europe, Asia, South America, Greenland, anywhere, it's free. Free, 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 free. Get the AT&T operator on the line and have her call 800-893-0903, and I'll try and watch that line. First-time caller line on the air. Hi.
Hey, Eric.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
All right.
I'd like to answer your question. Sorry, the dictator?
Yes.
If you know the origin of the word dictator.
Not exactly.
Do
the wild thing. It's 702-727-1295.
Dictator?
Yeah, well, no, thank you. See, I've heard that before, you know. He was just calling up to say something foul, and it didn't get on the air, and you wasted your call. Plus, you're a jerk. And now I know your voice. So, it's too bad people like that. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
This is Christine from Honolulu.
Hi, Christine.
I'm on Oahu, and it's been a little windy here, but not like the Big Island.
Pretty weird news out of the Big Island, huh?
Yes, I've had lots of raking to do, though, with all the branches and tree limbs that blown in the backyard. Can I do a dictator thing on this line?
Yes, you may. If you were a dictator from beautiful Oahu, what would you do?
Art, if I were a dictator, I would make some wage changes. I would give teachers more money and have athletes and actors and nurses and ambulance drivers earn what teachers earn. Actually, more than that, because there's probably
How much would you pay them?
Much less, but enough where they could protect themselves from crazy fans.
Right.
And I would go back to the chain gang in every state. And I would enforce a marriage test. You have to take a test to get married, pass or fail.
Well, give me an example of what kind of test, what would be in the test?
I think you'd have to maybe know the person for a certain amount of time.
Well, now that's a requirement. That's not a test. I mean, you're talking about a test for marriage here.
A test.
Yeah.
I'd have to think on that some more.
Well, there'd be probably some about toilet seats, right? Toothbrushes.
A couple things bother me, such as like stoplights and turning signals. I would enforce those. I think a person should get a couple warnings and possibly lose their driving privilege if I feel do not respect stop signs.
It's true, and it's got to stop.
And I would give Art Bell a raise.
All right. Well, we'll make you a dictator. That was all you needed to say right there. Now, there's a pretty good project for somebody out there to come up with a marriage test. You probably have to have one for men and one for women. And depending on your score, you'd be allowed to get married or not. Boy, there's a lot of people in the sneaker room all of a sudden. Really something else. So, you know, if you're out there and on the net right now, pop over to my website, www.artbell.com, and come into the sneaker room, and you will find me in there. Not saying a lot because I'm on the air, but I'm watching what people are saying. Okay, to my international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from frigid, foggy Edmonton.
Edmonton, Alberta.
Canada.
Yes, sir.
Ah, well, I have three things I'd like to talk about.
I think generally Canadians are too laid back to be dictators, but...
There's a secret plan in that, though, eh?
You
don't know, but JC told you all about it. And that's one thing if I were dictator, I'd clone JC. One in each one of your cities.
Really? That is
no,
an
really
insidious, insidious plan.
And, you know, you should have asked Mel if he ever shoved the 52 Chevy down that hole of his.
I know. I've had a lot of faxes about that.
But one thing I've been thinking about is that movie Asteroid. I was actually disappointed after about the first 10 minutes of the show.
Oh, the first part of it was great.
They really rushed into it, and I thought, where are they going? They're making this happen too fast.
I thought the same thing. And the second half was such a crushing disappointment.
Oh.
I got to where I hated that kid, that stupid little kid. His grandfather falls in the pit, right? And so what does he do? He heads straight to ground zero so that by the very end of the movie, he's hanging by his little hands, ready to fall into the very center of ground zero and burn to a crisp. And if I'd been there, I swear I'd have stepped on his hands.
Well, what I was disappointed with is that I thought they had an opportunity, rather than making a soap opera out of it, to make it into somewhat of a nuclear devastation film. I've seen the movie called Threads. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, that look! You can't sit down and watch that very frequently, or you.
No.
That's a very serious movie.
Don't have any sharp objects around.
That's right.
No, I thought it was going to really be based on here's an asteroid smashing into Earth and completely wiping out the planet, except for remnants of civilizations and how people regrouped, got together, and they could have done that really, really well.
I could not agree with you more, sir. Thank you for the call. That's Edmonton, Alberta on the international line. Somehow, even though we didn't include Canada in the international line, they missed Alberta. I don't know how that happened. The people in Alberta are able to get through on the international line. But he's right. He's really right about that movie. My gosh, I was angry about that movie. The first part was so good. And the second part with the kid, how could they have done that? I understand that you need the human element, but as the caller just said, it could have been done so much better. Most of civilization would have been gone, as the caller said, but a remnant which would have pulled itself up by its bootstraps and begun anew. Or even have all of civilization wiped out, you know, and we'd be nothing but future fossil fuel or something. Anything but the little kid wandering toward the center of the pit. I just couldn't believe it, that they would do that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi. Going once. Going twice, gone east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hey, Steve.
I haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Did you get my fax the other night that I sent you on the Mars space?
I don't remember it.
I sent you a page from the recent issue of Astronomy Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that, NASA will post on a surveyor's website as soon as the pictures are received from Mars. So that everybody can see what the face looks like.
Well, I don't believe it.
I don't know if they'll do that or not.
I just plain don't believe it. I don't believe it. I mean, we already know there are contractual things where they've got the photographs for so long before they have to release them. So.
All right. Well, that's what they stated here in the magazine. And by the way, the high resolution, high resolution shots are expected to show details as small as 10 feet across. Which is supposed to be 10 times better than the best Viking images that were taken in the mid-70s.
That ought to be good enough to see plaque on the teeth.
Exactly. Thank you, Art.
You're welcome. See you later. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Southern California.
Well, there you are.
There
you know, I have people that are begging me to put them in touch with you.
Why?
I don't know. I think they're fantasizing about your voice. In fact, well, I don't think that. I know that because that's what they write.
Well. But you know what?
What?
You're my favorite alien.
Thank you.
That's why I say that, because I want you to know that I don't think you're dead. I don't even think you're lukewarm. So, hey, you know how when you feed your fish and you go over and, like, you tap on the...
I don't have any fish. I'm not a fish kind of person. I'll tell you, I saw the funniest cartoon I've ever seen in my whole life the other day.
Uh-huh.
And you know what it showed?
What?
It was just a scene of a living room, and it showed a little fish bowl with a single piranha in the fish bowl.
Uh-huh.
And then sitting in the background, there was this cat, and both of his front legs were in splints.
That is funny. It's very funny. So the Antichrist drives a semi?
Was he didn't say he was driving a semi,
well,
did he?
Well, it just sounded like one.
Well, he was definitely on cellular, but it makes sense that the Antichrist would use a cellular phone. To me, anyway.
Yeah. You know, I hate to admit this, but I was thinking about your lip the other day.
Well, I have a not fully healed lip.
Oh, God, it's hard not to laugh. But, you know, I was going, gosh, I hope it grows back. And wouldn't it be weird?
I'm not sure about lips. I'm really not. That's what worried me. I most other things, you know, heal and regrow, but I'm not sure about lips.
I don't know. But I was imagining how funny it would be if our body parts did grow back when they got chopped off. You know, we'd have, like, little teeny tiny baby arms hanging out.
Like little lizards?
Yeah, or we'd have a little baby head if our head got chopped off on top of an adult body.
And it would take a while for it to grow back to adult size?
God, that would look horrible. What a life.
Yeah, what a pinhead. I mean, imagine the little teeny brain that the little teeny head would have.
It would look like a cabbage or something on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I hate to admit this, but I snore.
You do?
Isn't that awful? But
it is, because it's hard to imagine when one listens to your voice. In fact, you're probably really ruining a lot of fantasies
out
there.
This is very interesting. I can be awake and asleep at the same time, because you know what? I wake up and I hear myself snore and I go, oh my God, listen to that. Listen to you snore.
That is horrible.
I can't wake up. I'm like, wake up, stupid. Like, you can't stand this. You know, if anybody hears you, you'll be so embarrassed.
Listen, what's left of my lips has got to take a break here.
Okay.
All right?
Love you.
See you later. That'll do it. At least for this hour, and for some of you all together. So if you've got to go, goodbye. For the rest of you, we'll be back shortly from the high desert. This is CBC.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
None other. Glad to be here in this all-night slot. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Wouldn't know how to be anywhere else, actually. I've turned into a bat. All right, look out. Here we go again. Open lines through the end of the program. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Matt from Idaho Falls.
Yes, sir.
Hey, if I was a dictator,
yes,
I would make Miss Idaho Supreme Queen dictator, and I would clone her.
You mean Linda Moulton Howe?
No, the new one.
The new one. Did you know that Linda Moulton Howe was Miss Idaho?
I didn't know that.
She was. I didn't know it either. I've known her all these years, and 2 weeks ago I found out she was Miss Idaho once.
I did not know that.
And I'm pressuring her to send a photograph of when she was Ms. Idaho, and she's stalling.
She's
so,
stalling.
Yeah, that's right. So everybody should fax Linda Moulton Howe at area code 215-491-9842 and tell her to turn that photograph over.
Well, have you seen the new Miss Idaho?
No, but I would like to.
Ooh, man. Well, she won first runner-up in the Miss USA pageant.
Really?
Last month, but we're all really happy for her. She is one beautiful lady and just really nice. Just a wonderful person.
Well, I am an appreciator of the female species.
Yeah, I might have to see if I could get a photo for you.
Okie dokie.
But no, I guess what? Somebody supposedly caught a choopy, huh?
Well, yes. Now, all I know, and there's somebody in the chat room, you know, trying to tell me that it's a hoax, and he, of course, hasn't seen the video. I haven't seen it yet either, so I don't know how he can conclude it's a hoax.
Right.
The word we have is that a television station got a video of it, and that video is on the way to me, thanks to a very good reporter, and we'll pull a still and take a look and see what we think.
Wow. Well, that'd be cool.
Well, maybe. Maybe it's in Austin waking up as we speak.
Ooh.
Ready to prowl the streets. All right, thank you very much for the call. And eat Austonians. Could you call people from Austin Austonians? Probably not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Chris in Minnesota.
Hi, Chris.
Was that actually JC that I heard on the line there?
No.
That wasn't him earlier?
No, not to my knowledge. JC
oh.
is very distinctive. You'll know when he's on.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you were talking about. Quick question for you, Art.
Yes.
Do you believe, when are you going to be doing the program on OBEs?
I don't know. When the mood strikes, I guess.
Okay.
Why?
I had an experience that I thought was maybe was an OBE. I was able to actually to tell when the actual date that my wife got pregnant. And,
well, actually, you can probably usually sense that when you're in your body. Even though you're having, at the moment, a surreal experience of some sort.
Oh, okay. Do you have any way that I can find some more information on it?
None whatsoever.
Okay,
none
I wasn't
whatsoever.
Sure whether there was a publication or some sort of thing.
Let me say this about that. I too think that I know the precise instant, and I mean instant, that my son was conceived. I've always thought I knew that. Any of the rest of you have that experience? Talking to parents now. I mean, you just know. It's one of those things that you know. It's like this article about from the scientists about intuition. It's in the Washington Post today, if you can probably browse their website and find it. It's about intuition. Scientists actually are beginning to study intuition now, and the article is funny. The title is something like, Scientists Have Hunch Intuitions for Real, or something like that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Goodbye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Actually, I'm east of the Rockies.
Actually, yes, you are. Where are you?
I'm in Austin, Texas, and there's one thing I forgot to ask earlier.
Oh, no, you're not allowed to call back. That's absolutely against the one way you can lose all rights to call this program is to call twice in one night. Don't ever do that. Never, 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 never. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh.
No, it would have been. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. If I was dictator,
yes,
I think I would take Dick Marchenko's book, The Rogue Warrior. I'd take him, put him back in charge of SEAL Team 6.
Really?
Put him over and have him eliminate Saddam Hussein there with extreme prejudice. And I'd put his head on display at the state capitol.
Really?
Yes, sir. I think I would.
Well, that's easy to say from a cell phone in a vehicle.
Well, that's true, but
all right,
of course,
sir.
I could do it myself. Ah, okay, there would well, I'm in that. I'll just have him take me over there, and I guess I could do it. I don't know.
All right.
I'd say if you're a finger eye for an eye. That'd be just a start, though. I think we'd close the American borders to all these illegal immigrants, and we start cracking down. And
Americans are actually given the opportunity to be dictatorial, quite brutal.
Yeah, we're just kind of stepping up and stop being Mr. Nice Guy and kind of let people know that America is, you know, needs to protect our own.
Oh, I sense that. Yes, thank you. You know, look, what I guess we have proven here is that, I mean, nobody has yet called up and said, well, I wouldn't want to be a dictator. I want to live in a representative democracy, constitutional. I want to live in America. Everybody has taken the opportunity and the mantle to be a dictator, which tells you something about the basic nature of people. Even people who have been used to living in freedom, they, given 1 second of opportunity, would be a dictator. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling from Summit City, California. This is Madonna.
Madonna? Not the Madonna.
No, but I am an Annie. If I were a dictator, I would ban all testing on lab animals. And I would turn the prisons into the lab testing.
So what's now being done to lab animals, you would begin doing to prisoners?
Yes.
If it is cruel to do to animals, why would you do it? I mean, some guy who, you know, was desperate. He needed some money for his family, so he knocked over a 7-Eleven. And he's in jail, and you're going to start cutting him up, huh?
Well, no, not to those. I'm talking to child molesters, rapists, murderers, hardcore.
Only hardcore.
Death row.
And you would decide that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
All right, I think I've got it. Thank you, Madonna. See, I'm telling you, these women are naturally a notch or two or three more cruel than men. This is something I found out doing talk radio over the years. You know, every now and then somebody will commit a horrible crime. And I remember over the years there would be a show where, well, what do you think the punishment ought to be? Inevitably, the women calling in would be far more creative with the cruelest possible punishment. And intimate descriptions of how they would disassemble the person, if you follow me. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Nick in Seattle.
Yes, sir.
I've got a dictator thing for you.
All right.
And considering what you were saying earlier, I wouldn't change anything except one thing.
What?
There would be a TV station devoted solely to the MCI girl. 24 hours, day and night.
Oh, she is so cute, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Mr. Holland's Opus?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody. I got 10,000 emails on that. but she is just, I mean, she is incredibly cute.
I can't even watch that movie anymore. It hurts too bad.
Yeah, I do understand.
You should get her on your show.
I'd love to. I mean, if she'd like to come on the program, But, I mean, this is radio, and there are a very few times when nothing but television will do.
True.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, you got a point there.
All right, thank you very much. She really is cute. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Tim from Casper, Wyoming.
Hi, Tim.
I just wanted to say if I was a dictator, Tiffany Amber Thiessen would be mine.
Who?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, yeah, she also is very cute.
Yes, she is.
That would be, though, I mean, wouldn't you do something larger for society?
Save the world.
Save the world?
Yeah.
After Tiffany?
Uh-huh. That would come first.
I think I understand where you're coming from. Thank you very much. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. It's been a long time. Bob in Vegas.
Hello, Bob in Vegas.
You reached the Hall of Fame, Art.
I'm sorry?
You reached the Hall of Fame because they pronounced you dead. Well, you know, remember Mark Twain, Art? Mark Twain, some paper publisher, thought he was dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember that. And also in 1978, I remember the John Birch Society, they had a paper out. John Birch Society, a very right-wing outfit. They tried to get my wife to join them. She wouldn't. But they published that she was dead. My wife was Taylor Caldwell, and of course she called them up and raised the dickens.
Well, at least your wife, Taylor Caldwell, had the opportunity, Bob, to face her, accuser is not the right word, but the author of her memorial announcement, pronouncement. Well, I'm afraid that I've killed the chat room. I guess I just can't do that. I announce that I'm in a chat room, and so many people come into it that apparently the server dies or something. I don't know. It just stops working. Anyway, it was fun while it lasted. I was in the sneaker room on my website, and maybe I could try reconnecting or something. It was like everything froze up, everything stopped. Yeah. Be darned. I think we killed another server. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, sir.
Hey, on this mail deal.
Yeah.
How do you know that it actually did get a fax from him?
Well, because I recognized every aspect about the fax header, the return telephone number, and I know for certain that they were faxes from Mel.
But couldn't it have been the government or whoever was there?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, the whole thing could have been a hoax. I have no way of knowing because I just put them on the air. I do that all the time with all kinds of things. I just, put people on the air. But in your first question was, how do I know it was the same person?
Right.
I definitely knew that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Second question. I sent you a fax of a newspaper clipping I got out of the Enterprise Record here in Chico about cattle mutilation in red blood. Did you ever get that?
I believe I saw it, yes.
Oh, okay. Great. That's all I need to know.
What do you think cattle mutilations are?
Well, in this particular instance, it was kind of eerie because it seemed to be surgically removed on the one half, and in terms of the article. Then on the other half of the article, they said, no, that's just the way it is when, wild things start picking at it.
Huh.
And I thought, well, that's kind of odd because any time I've had any dead animal out where other animals have been eaten, it's not like it's surgically, cut up.
What I've heard about these mutilations is that that no animals will go near them, no predators, natural predators, will go anywhere near the mutilated animal.
And that was true in this case as well.
Uh-huh. It's true in most cases of mutilation, and that's so unnatural. And animals have a good sense about that kind of thing. So I have not ruled out, thank you, the possibility that these mutilations really are something very different. Not all of them. I'm sure there are some that are deeds of sick people, but there's something really, really wrong, too. And anyway, first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Well, I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
What is your name?
Shannon.
Shannon?
Yes.
Shannon?
Yes.
What is, I can't ask your last name. You're not the Shannon, though.
I'm Brandon Collins.
Okay.
I'm from Woodland, California.
You are?
Yes.
All right.
And I were a dictator. I wouldn't be a dictator. I'd be a speaker for the public.
A speaker for the public. All right, Shannon, thank you. You're going to have to be a stronger speaker, Shannon, because for some reason, it's like you almost didn't have any audio. Almost no audio. Just barely there, Shannon. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
All right, good evening.
Hello.
Yes, sir. It kind of caught in the crossfire because I was listening to the show on delay. I'm an airline pilot, and I'm kind of taken aback because of the Ed Dame show of 30th of January. Do you, I don't know, excuse me, for, you caught me completely off guard. I thought I had a lot more time. But in any case, what I'm wondering is, has Ed been on 30th?
Yes.
Oh, he has. When?
No, I don't remember the date. It was not that long ago. Why?
Oh, okay. Because just having listened, I always thought of myself as rather a logical thinker, being in the business that I'm in, and having listened to that particular program, it did upset me to a point, and I was just wondering what your take on Ed is vis-a-vis when he was talking about the guy who did the fake alien autopsy. He said this guy was probably P.T. Barnum. Do you feel that way about Ed at all? Or do you...
You mean that Ed's like P.T. Barnum?
Yeah.
No.
You think he is legitimate in his claims?
I don't know. But I don't think he's like P.T. Barnum.
Oh, well, I suppose that...
You know, everybody to their own. This is the kind of thing you listen to and make your own decision about, like most stuff I do on the air, sir.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You are capable. I mean, as an airline pilot, you make decisions all the time.
Quite a few.
See? So that's the same with my program. When you hear something, you've got to make a decision in your own mind about the way you feel about it. In other words, the way I feel about it doesn't matter.
Oh, no. I was just curious as to your personal view.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant?
Absolutely.
Well, okay. The very last thing earlier when you were talking about the religious aspect of souls, and you know, the guy was talking about the lamb, or
yes.
the
cloning,
right? Regarding that, when you're talking about who hands out souls, or I should say on the portion of Christianity, but when you say with the majority of the populace...
You're beginning to drift on me, sir.
Yeah, I am. I was completely caught off guard. But...
All right, well, I've got to run. Thank you, and I'll leave your name at the front desk. Will you somehow picture him at the controls of a 747? All right, we've got a break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back from the high desert, where it's finally dry again. Did a lot of raining yesterday. This is the American CBC Radio Network.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Reaching down to the bottom of the barrel, old bumper music. Remember that? Do you know how long that was on the number one, in the number one position? It was incredible. Ah, well. Oh, listen. I can reach back and nearly come up with an endless supply of bumper music and things that you haven't heard in years and years. Somebody has done it. They've sent me a marriage test for men. Now, I would think there ought to be one for women, too, but I'm going to read you the one that I've got for men. A marriage test for men. Are you ready, guys? You can take this test and score yourself at the end. Here it comes. Circle the answer which most applies to you. One, your wife is suffering from PMS. Do you, A, hide in a corner and hope she doesn't notice you? B, go about your day as if nothing is wrong, casually dodging the various flying objects? Or C, demand that she quit crying and get you a beer? Two, your wife asks you if you think another woman is pretty. Your response, A, I didn't notice because I was looking at you. B, yes, please put down the knife. Or C, good Lord, what a set of hooters. Three, your wife wants to have sex during the Super Bowl. Do you, A, sweep her into your arms and carry her upstairs? B, tell her you'll get to it later. Or C, ask her to get you a beer. Four, you are leaving the bathroom. What do you do with the toilet seat? A, put it down. B, leave it up. C, refuse to touch it because you forgot to put it up when you went. And finally, five, your wife wants to go to the opera. You want to go to a tractor pull. Do you, A, go to the opera, feeling a little culture will do you some good? B, go to the tractor pull, figuring your wife will love it so much she'll forgive you? Or C, go to the tractor pull and leave her home with the kids? Score 0 points for each A answer, 10 points for each B, and 20 points for each C. If you received zero, you are a woman who took the wrong test. If you scored 10 to 50, you're a typical man. Good luck. Any 50-plus scores suggest that unless you are Andrew Dice Clay, you are a pig. Expect death threats from Gloria Steinem. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the marriage test for men. Somebody with talent did that. That's Chris in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Ask and ye shall receive. Thank you very much, Chris. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
I'm glad I got you, Art.
Me too, sir.
I got a couple of things. First thing, I haven't been listening for the last half hour. I'm looking at the comment right now. It's just, it's amazing.
Well, I'm going to go out once again after the program and try and find it myself. I have just not had luck. It's either been cloudy or I have forgotten. So this morning, it's clear, it's blown out, the clouds are gone, and I'm going to give it a shot.
Has anybody else called in on it tonight?
No, but it absolutely is visible, and I'll tell you, there is a chance over the next few days that we will have Alan Hale on, and he will instruct us all in the ways of the comet.
Well, you don't have to look for it to see it. I mean, I was just driving along, and boom, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. I got one more thing for you. Whatever happened with the Kramer case?
We're going to have Kathy Kramer and Ed Dames on together March 6th.
March 6th?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I was talking about. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Art. I'd like to know about that comment.
Thank you. Take care. Yes, I have heard it's kind of jumping out at you now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Okay.
That's good. Actually, I've been trying to get you since the beginning of the show.
That's a lot of dialing.
My arm is hurting.
Where are you?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
All right.
First Florida call tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew or not. The Unexplained, they had Gotham Brink with the pyramids, the chambers.
Yes.
And they actually went up the South Chamber, first time in 42,000 years.
No kidding.
Yes, it was incredible. 200 feet.
Wow.
It was the UP-8 number 1 and 2, the little computerized camera.
Yeah. I say again, wow, well, I wish I've got to see that.
Yeah, it was really incredible, really incredible. Yeah, it was last night. If I was a dictator.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'd release the Hall of Records and make that the constitutional amendment for everybody.
In other words, the law.
The law, the actual law.
Okay.
Number two, and I would make the overseers to be Forbes, Father Malachi, David Brinkley.
Danion Brinkley.
Danion.
David Brinkley is a news guy.
Okay. Two and three is for kids. Equivalent to math and English would be remote viewing and Egyptian yoga.
Wow.
Incredible.
It would be a very different world.
It would be. No more fat kids. No more fat people. Everyone's healthy. And this lady called earlier about castrating or criminals or using them for donating their bodies.
Yeah.
I would think more of them donating for living organs, however.
In other words, remove the organs one at a time until finally you remove something critical and then sentence has been carried out.
After, yeah, but not for like gamblers, prostitutes, or drug offenders, not for addicts, only for hard criminals, after they're hypnotized and castrated.
The piece them out punishment.
Very much so.
All right, thank you very much for the call. And once again, you have proven that women are crueler than men. I'm going to have to save this marriage test for men forever. I now need its counterpart. A marriage test for women, which I suppose in its own way could be just as cruel. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, wonderful. Good morning, Mr. Art Bell.
Good morning to you.
This will probably be my last call because I'm returning to England soon. I'm calling from Alberta.
Alberta?
In Canada.
And so one of these days you're going to be hearing us soon in Jolly Old.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
Oh, I will be so thrilled.
I wonder, I've been thinking about that since I found out about it, and I wonder what the English are going to think of me.
I think they'll be fascinated. Fascinated.
Well,
because you got me hooked, and if you can get me hooked, you can get them hooked.
Well, maybe you're a good example test case then.
Well, I need some very pertinent information because if I'm not going to be hearing you for a while, I need to know how I can get your book when it comes out. Is it going to be available worldwide?
Well, it will be, yes, after a period of time. The first thing that's going to happen is it's going to come out in hardback.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will give you the phone number that you can call from anywhere in the world to order it. But don't try to call until about, let's say to be careful, mid-April, about tax time, okay?
Okay.
The number is 1-800-864-7991.
Okay. Perfect. And one more thing.
Yes.
I heard you one night talking about when a person is asleep and they have these weird things happen to them.
Yes.
Now, that happens to me very regularly. Where can I get more information on that? Is there a book I can buy?
There is, but I can't give you the number off the top of my head. We've had a number of guests who have given us a lot of information. When did you say you're leaving?
In March.
In March.
Mid-March, yes.
Mid-March. All right. There's plenty of time then, and I will get that information for you.
Okay.
All right?
Is there a particular name of a book? What is this thing called that happened?
It's an out-of-body experience. In other words, a person first will experience a kind of... that you'll feel paralyzed.
Right.
And sort of in between sleep and wakefulness and paralyzed.
Right.
Right.
And I'm told that if you allow that to continue and go with the feeling instead of being frightened by it.
Instead of fighting it.
That's right. That you can then go out of body. I've always fought it myself.
Yeah, I did it first. It has managed to get past me quite a few times, but I'm getting better with it. I'm doing that, talking to myself. It's okay. You'll be okay.
That's what you've got to do, all right?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, I've got to go. When you get back, tell everybody about us.
I will, for sure.
Right.
And I hope I'm going to be able to get you, that's for sure.
All right, thank you. Take care. Very nice. Yes, we're going to be... we've got this arrangement that we're coming to with British Talk Radio. And we're working on that. These things are not easily done. You know, we've got to get signal across the Atlantic and get all kinds of contractual things done, but we're working on that. As an alternative to shortwave, because all of a sudden communications and the way of getting signals distributed is changing, and it's mainly by satellite, and so there are better ways to achieve what we want to achieve. I have written one book already, and a lot of people don't know about that, and I always forget to talk about it. It is available and in well into the third printing now, and you can still get it. In fact, it's going to be, I guess, kind of a collector's item. It's about my life. It's a book about my life. It's called The Art of Talk. Cute title, huh? And here's a word about it. Life can be an amazing experience. You know, it amazes me at times when I reflect on my life and compare my rather inauspicious beginning to the way my life is now.
That was an excerpt from Art Bell's book, The Art of Talk. We at Paper Chase Press are proud to be Art Bell's publisher. Art has put his heart and soul into his book for you, his listeners. In his book, Art reveals things which he would not and could not talk about on the air.
When I sat down to think about my life, I discovered how difficult and painful it was to reflect on my regrets.
From the beginning stages, we wanted to make The Art of Talk a very special book. Hardcover, complete with full-color photographs. It's also available as a 3 audio cassette album.
It should be obvious by now that I am a complex, tangled mixture of a person.
Yes, he certainly is. And if you want to know more about the man behind the microphone, call for your copy today. Call 1-800-864-7991. That's 1-800-864-7991.
Well, there it is. You can still get it, The Art of Talk, at that number. And then by about mid-April, my new book, The Quickening, will be out. And I guess you'll be able to get it at the same number, I think. So anyway, if you want The Art of Talk, a brutally honest book, and so is The Quickening, in fact, maybe even more so, in a different sense, a different way. Really brutal. I don't know any other way to write, though. The number is 1-800-864-7991, and so you can get that book right now, 1-800-864-7991. Somebody remind me tomorrow morning, if you would, tomorrow night, if I can even remember to do it, to run that earlier in the show. All right, let's see. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Tim in San Diego.
Hi, Tim.
I feel really compelled to clear up a couple of misconceptions about cloning.
Okay.
What the scientists did was not create life. They took a zygote that was already created by a male and female sheep, and they just swapped out the DNA. So they didn't create the life itself. That was already created by whatever you believe creates life. They merely took the life that was already created.
Now, that can easily be argued. When you're doing in vitro fertilization, then you could argue, as you are now arguing, when you're able to actually take the DNA... strands and put them in a blank slate, essentially, and clone, then you are creating life. Because
wait.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It is essentially a blank slate, yes.
No, a zygote is formed when a male and female sex cells join together into one cell.
But it was emptied.
It was emptied by the scientists. They removed...
That's correct.
They removed the DNA that was there.
That's right.
Created naturally.
That's right.
And they put new DNA in.
That's right.
The life was already created before the scientists ever...
Yes, but once you're able to do that, then you can manipulate the DNA. It's one little tiny jump to manipulate the DNA.
Sure, you can manipulate the DNA, but you have not created life. The DNA is not the life. The DNA is merely the
nutrient. Well, I guess you would argue then that until they can create the DNA, they are not creating life. Would that be your argument?
No. The DNA, you can take the DNA out of the living cell. The cell is still alive.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. The DNA is separate from the living cell.
Well, we're just arguing words here. They have cloned exactly.
But that's just the physical characteristics. They have not... Scientists may never, ever be able to create life.
You're not going to know that until we get the first human clone.
Well, and like a lot of people have been trying to tell you, a human clone is nothing more than a twin. That's all it is.
Right. We have an endless number of twins.
Yeah, but they're all people, just like all of us are people.
Well,
they're no different.
Now, look,
you're
getting into religious and philosophical areas that you're not qualified to be in now.
No, I'm talking about something that's just a basic idea, is that you don't walk down the street and start treating people as slaves. Why would a clone be any different? It's a normal person. It just happens to look like somebody else. It just happens to look and be an identical twin to somebody else. It doesn't make that clone any less of a person with any less rights.
With one little manipulation of DNA, you can create something that would essentially be a slave. Yes, you can.
What would you manipulate the DNA to produce?
Well, you'd manipulate the DNA to produce something with a very almost non-functional brain.
Yeah, I could see that as a possibility in the future.
Uh-huh.
That's something else again. You don't even have to have cloning. You could just take a zygote, a human zygote. You could manipulate the DNA. It wouldn't be anybody's twin, but you could do that now. You could start taking...
Yeah, you could. But once we have started down this road, I guarantee you all these things are open to be done, even if people won't talk about it.
Well, Aldous Huxley wrote about it in a book called Brave New World many, many years ago.
Sure. The only difference is that now it's here.
Yeah, it's just about here.
This is the beginning. This is the beginning. I think you'll find tomorrow night very interesting. Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, can you imagine a geneticist, a Jesuit priest, and a bioethicist all in one guy?
Do you know the first geneticist was a German monk named Mendel? He was the first person to experiment with genetics and traits that are passed on from parents to offspring.
Well, he sure won't be the last.
Okay, Art.
It's quite a world. Thank you very much for the call. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Dahl.
Good morning.
I wanted to give you an update about the comet.
Okay.
I seen it Tuesday morning, and through the telescope, it appeared like a cobra. It had two tails, one extended up and behind it, and the other one appeared.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting, because one of the astronauts is supposedly said, while they were up in the shuttle, that they too saw the comet, and it appeared to have two tails.
Absolutely. It does.
Now, that is bizarre, and I can't even imagine. In other words, when you get a close shot from a telescope, I can understand the spiral effect that you get, depending on how it's outgassing. But I can't imagine what could produce from one comet head two distinctively viewed tails from this far away. Can you?
Actually, I can.
What?
I predicted that. I painted a picture of, it's called Night of the Comets, a form of comets, and on that I included a comet that had two tails on it. And
the only way I can see that it would happen is if there
two gas jets.
Well, suppose that something had broken off the comet, and suppose the orbit was beginning to differ from the comet itself. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? All right, listen, we're out of time. My program is over, and you know how to do the honors, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Do it.
From San Diego, this is Jesse saying good night, America.
All right, and it's Art from the High Desert saying good night, Cosmos. See you all tomorrow night. Ciao.